Vaude. Welcome to Brico's Talk, the Mandalorian podcast. My name is Cork.
My name is Marika.
And I'm Brett.
I've also been realizing that I've been saying the singular of Vaude and not Vaude, the plural.
So noticed that you have switched on different ones, and I didn't know if that was a mistake or not.
Yeah, so I was only talking to that one person.
Yes, just you, the listener. The singular listener. You know who you are. Okay, so.
Do you want to go through our initial... Oh, well, we were here to talk about Chapter 16, The Rescue, directed by Peyton Reed and written by Jon Favreau. Do you want to, at all, like, initial thoughts, or we just want to jump into the recap?
Oh, God. I don't know.
Who didn't cry this episode? Just raising your hand.
That works well for our visual medium.
No, I was going to say, no one's raising their hand, let's be honest.
I cried.
Well,
no,
I said who didn't cry.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you said who didn't cry.
You said
cry.
Who didn't cry and then...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're all... Okay. Yeah, you were crying a little bit.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I was shocked. Yes.
Why don't we just get in there?
Let's just get into it.
Yeah.
This was a lot.
Yeah.
This was a lot.
Okay, so we open with the Slave One chasing an Imperial ship. We cut into the inside, and there are two officers who seem to be escorting Dr. Fushing. Okay, so then Boba Fett hits the Imperial ship with an ion cannon, all their systems and everything go down, and then he hails them and tells them to lower their shields and prepare to be boarded. Dr. Fushing thinks the pirates and asks if they're going to fight, and the one, like, I just love calling him jerk officer, is like, I don't have a death wish, do you?
I like what he also said. I suggest you shut your mouth.
Yeah, this isn't your laboratory.
Yes.
Yeah, so then the doors open and Din comes in there pointing a gun at him. The one officer takes stock. Oh, no, at first.
He says that he's a clone engineer.
Yeah, the doctor is kind of like, well, don't shoot, like, you know, this is Dr. Fushing. And Din's like, yeah, we've met. Is the kid okay? And he's like, yes, he's on the cruiser. And then the jerk officer takes him and starts basically threatening them, being like, you know, like, he's a really important target for the New Republic. You can't kill them. Kara walks in, and apparently both of her tattoos mean something because he knows she's a dropper from the arm tattoo. Tattoo, and then she's from Alderaan from the face tattoo, which
yeah.
I guess is, we didn't know that meant anything.
It's a teardrop. It's a teardrop tattoo for the death of Alderaan.
So, like, he calls her a terrorist, and like,
yes,
I would online, but people are bringing up the fact that like the original idea was like they were compared to the Viet Cong, like the rebels were originally compared to the Viet Cong, or that's where George Lucas got his ideas from.
I mean, it is a good point, and I feel like people have said that before. Like, you know, there were even people that were like, you know, you can't even say everyone's stormtroopers. There have been a good amount of people who were
just
construction,
citizens. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, or even prisoners. And, you know, there's probably just a lot of people who were doing normal. There were probably people working at the fucking cafeterias.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there were normal people there that wasn't all. Yeah. So
yeah.
I mean,
that's kind of what we got to this point is that, yeah, the jerk officer is kind of like threatening Kara, being like that basically they were the ones standing up. He said that he watched her planet burn. And, you know, and that was the price we had to pay to, like, and terrorism or something,
yes.
And she shoots her in the face. And
yes.
Dr. Fushing starts screaming, and then Din looks at her like, okay, that's a lot we need to deal with, but not right now.
I also like that Dr. Fushing is like, I love how dorky he is, first of all. He's way too cute.
Yes.
I was like, in the Art of the Mandalorian thing, they're talking about how, like, they wanted him to, like, look and kind of feel like a Nazi doctor, and I feel like they completely missed that.
Oh, not at all.
He's way too cute.
It's even, like,
but, like, the outfit, kind of, and, like, the glasses, they were kind of going with, like, one of, like, the, like, that was kind of the ideal to have him look in the first season, but then I think they just went a whole other way where they cast him and sold him.
Yeah, maybe like the casting just ended up like a kind of rewrite of the character. He doesn't even really seem all that threatening, and he's always he's always wanting to protect Grogu anyway, so now it seems like, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't even look all that scared when Din was there. He was just like, oh, we have similar interests.
Yeah. Like, but when it shoots, he doesn't just scream. He's holding his ear.
I love it. Oh, I thought he had it on his head because it was like really close.
No,
it was on his ear because it was too loud. I was like, oh, yes. I love that.
So, okay. Then we come back over to Slave One and it's landing on some planet. Either of you have any ideas?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I didn't.
No.
Because it's definitely not Fog Lady's planet, so it's not the last place we saw the Night Owls, so.
Yeah, it's definitely not Trask. Yeah, I don't know. For a second, like, for a very, very small second, I thought it might have been Mantlebar. Because of, like, the, you know, just, like, the flat like almost sand kind of thing. I was like, oh, but then I was like, no.
Yeah.
We didn't jump to that.
Bo-Katan's probably not just hanging out in a cafe in Mandalore.
Well, everything in Mandalore is because the world is so polluted. It's all like literal wasteland and all the cities are in huge bubbles.
So do you want to talk about the gauntlet?
Oh,
no one lives outside.
Oh, okay.
All the cities are in bubbles. Also, this is the ship that's parked there. If no one noticed, it's Bo-Katan's ship. She had it in a few of the rebels. Or I think I can't remember what.
I think in the
comics. She was No, it was in one of the animated series.
Might have been Clone Wars then.
Yeah, it might have been Clone Wars.
It's been a hot second.
Clone Wars are rebels.
Wait, so is the ship called the Gauntlet?
Yeah, the ship is called the Gauntlet.
Okay. You said, I don't know, do we want to talk about the Gauntlet? And I was like, what Gauntlet? Where are you jumping us to?
Honestly, I had like, I know. Yeah, it is Bo-Katan's ship. In my head, I was just like... it looks like there's one of the episodes of Futurama. Straight up, they have the Sith Wars bit, and the ship 100% just looks exactly like that, but made out of cardboard.
Yeah, it's also kind of huge. Now that I'm looking at it in comparison,
stature wise,
to
the
slave,
wings fold down.
I know, but still, like the slave is a pretty huge ship.
True,
and they end up landing the Imperial ship they stole here later, and it's still bigger than that ship.
Wait, what? Really? What?
Once they cut out when they're all on the Slave One?
Oh, you're right, the shuttle.
I'm guessing. Kara's like flying the shuttle back with Dr. Pershing on it.
Yeah. The Imperial Lander.
Yeah. So Din and Boba Fett go up to this cantina and Boba.
So sexy, the posing. The shot with both of them in it and they're synchronized. I love it.
Yeah, and everyone kind of turns and looks at them. And then we kind of pan over enough to get to a table.
Well, these poor patrons at this bar.
Yeah.
They probably saw Bo-Katan and Costco walk in and were like, holy shit. I didn't even know Mandalorians existed. There's two of them here?
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then another two show up and they have a full-ass bar fight?
Which might be why this entire cantina is completely empty and what might be a continuity error later. But anyway, so they walk up to them and it's
no,
like...
people are just pacing.
Oh, okay. I guess there's a shot because...
I haven't noticed that until just now.
Well, I just noticed when the fight starts, there's nobody in the bar.
Okay, so I guess this is the thing that Mercedes lied to us because she said that she wasn't in any other episodes, which yes, I like all the misdirection that keeps happening. So Din goes up to them and tells Bo-Katan that he needs her help, and she starts what her whole mode this episode is just pontificating about how important she is.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's like, not all Mandalorians are bounty hunters, some of us serve a higher purpose. And I was like, okay, calm down, lady.
I guess she's a bitch, but I kind of wanted like your guys' opinion on this, because she totally is. She's totally like an asshole gatekeeping Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
But that's always been her character. Like,
yeah.
She's always been that. She's always been kind of hypocritical. Like, and I like that about her, because she's fun. Like, it's ridiculous. You never know what she's gonna do. Obviously, in real life, I would hate her.
Yeah.
But her character is fun. But Bo,
yeah.
She like, some people have been like kind of really big dicks about it online, that like she's a total asshole and stuff. And I mean, I know, like I said, someone called her Bo, you know, like Bo Karen or something, which is funny.
Yeah.
But like some people were like being serious about it and like really hating on her about it. And I was like, okay. I feel like we have a lot of male characters who do similar shit, and I don't think like they get the same.
Yeah, I guess it would be. More with the way the show is going, I feel like having no other real information on the character, I think kind of much later on in the episode, we're leaning to like, maybe she's not a good guy. Like, maybe she's kind of more in like a dubious area of like, because there's one specific shot later where I was like, oh, they're framing you like a villain in this shot. And so, yeah, but I like that. I like that it's this whole thing of like, especially with how this episode ends and how Din's probably going to have
mm-hmm.
to be spending a lot of time with her.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. But I mean, but I have no prior knowledge of her, just being one other episode.
Well, I mean, she was straight up like, she was pretty much Pre Vizsla's right hand.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that stuff where I'm talking about villages being burned and shit, like, she was there killing children.
Yeah.
And was fighting, you know, trying to kill 15-year-old Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, obviously, until later when she came back and fucked her. But that's what I mean is, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think that that's a fair assessment, that it could possibly be some... Well, I mean, like, a lot of Star Wars fans are male and assholes.
Yeah, and get pissed.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's a sexism thing of like... Well, yeah, because, I mean, we've had different, like, you know...
Like Mayfield.
Yes, yeah.
He's
well,
done horrible
yeah.
things, and he has done good things, and he's still kind of ambiguous in the middle, but people love him.
Yes. Yeah. He was an asshole.
He was being racist about Mandalorians.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
that,
yeah. No, I'll agree that I'm, yeah, it's, it, yeah, if she was that same way and like that kind of a jerk, I'm sure there's some other like similar character within some other part of Star Wars that I just don't know that I'm sure like, you know, lots of white boys on the internet love.
Yeah. I'm sure. Okay, but let's go on with this fight because I love all of this.
So
everything about this. It's my favorite.
Yeah. Din says that they took the child and Bo-Katan's like, who? And then he says Moff Gideon. And then finally they communicate and she's like, Moff Gideon? And then she's like, well, you're never going to find him. And
these dummies.
And then,
these dummies.
Yeah.
Would have just, if she would have just said, bring me to Moff Gideon instead of, where is he? You can bring me to him, to that guard. She may have already gotten to Moff Gideon by this time.
Also, even right here where, I guess Din was probably about to, but then Boba Fett's just like, I just forget it. They're not going to help us. And and then, yeah, then apparently the Night Owls hate clones, which, okay. Also, specifically, Axe is not here.
Yeah, where is that?
Just on a day off.
Are we retconning that he looks so much like Temuera Morrison?
Do you want to spout your crazy theory?
Oh, well, this is, I'm obviously ahead of us because I really, we're going to later, we talked about doing it of the Republic Commando books. But the whole point is that all of them are clones.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in like the second book so that I can annotate it and like have notes before I give it to like one of you guys three so we don't have to all buy our own. But anyway, the whole point is in the second book, one of the clones gets someone pregnant. We have a clone baby. We have a half clone baby.
Running around. Okay.
Is it that Axe?
Could be Axe.
Oh, is that Axe? The timeline match up that is Axe, or we're just saying.
I mean, this is late Clone Wars we're talking.
Okay.
So, yeah, he'd be about in his early mid 20s, 30s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if he's a clone, ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Would half clones age slightly quicker? Because he's only a half age clone.
True. I have no idea.
Because he's like 10.
I have no idea.
It's weird. It's going to be really funny.
I mean, I know this, again, either of you watched from Black, I was just going to be like, well, maybe he has magic healing and empath powers, but no one would know what I'm talking about.
I have to say, I hope you guys listen to those episodes because I'm really excited about them because they're going to be, it's going to be a journey. But yeah, I didn't notice that until, well, I knew Axe wasn't there. But I didn't think of the fact that they're being racist about clones and Axe isn't here.
Yes, yeah, because he so much seems like he is a clone or he at least looks like,
yes.
You know, like how Boba Fett Jango Fett looked at that age.
Yes.
So, yeah, I just...
Well, I want to... I mean, yeah. This is another thing to do with the clones and different with the Mandalorian things. I know this is on two separate clone tangents on the same one part.
Yeah.
But it's also funny that Din probably just now got that joke from, like, 3 days ago.
I feel like Din is just, like, he's just, like...
So far dissociated.
Yeah. He's not even been paying attention at all.
He's still sobbing in the helmet the whole time.
He's even muted somehow, so
yeah.
It just doesn't pay. There's a little sound barrier. No one can hear him sobbing.
Oh my god, I forgot what it was.
Another clone tangent, something about...
Oh, that there's a possibility, one fan theory came up, and I think is actually a really interesting one, that maybe one of the reasons, because clones, while raised somewhat Mandalorians, they were trained usually by Mandalorians, because Jango Fett went and did that, but because Jango Fett did that and basically let them take his genetic information and make basically children from it, he kind of got... kicked out of being like, you are basically as bad as someone experimenting on children.
Okay.
So that's kind of why the Fets got like pushed to the side.
Okay.
So because they're like, this was a horrible thing he did that like exploited all these children. Because, you know, Mandos are all about children.
Yeah.
So like, it was that whole thing. But one of the things is that like, someone thinks maybe coverts like Din's and other places took some clones in and then, like, helped them become Mandalorians. And
that's where the helmet rule.
So that they didn't know that there were, like, four kids who all look the same.
Well, that and people hunted clones.
Okay.
Yeah, clone hunters.
But I was like,
sure.
I was like, that is a very interesting theory, though.
It is.
Because,
okay.
Like, that makes
sense.
Maybe
the armor just isn't a nut, and she actually
maybe
has some reasons.
Maybe she's actually just a clone. She has a voice check.
She's a weird modulator in a helmet.
Well,
she takes,
I mean,
it off and it's Boba Fett
they
again.
They did announce the film, the series Bad Batch.
Yeah. All right, so they're throwing insults at each other.
Yeah, they start kind of, yeah.
It's very funny that Koska calls him a sidekick, though.
Yeah, and then he basically
like,
says, like, the same thing. So they're kind of, like, verbally getting at it. And then, yeah, then Bo-Katan tells them to stop. And then Din is finally able to be like, I have Moff Gideon's coordinates. And she's like, oh, okay, well, if you had said that, we could have gotten at least that one little fight out of the way. Din is saying, like, you come, like, help help me get the kid. And then they have a light cruiser, which will be useful in like your efforts to retake Mandalore. And then Boba's like, oh, are you fucking serious?
And like, Mandalore, are you kidding me?
Yeah, so like the Empire turned that planet to glass. This is pointless.
And then she says probably the worst thing you could say. She's like, you're a disgrace to your arbor. And he's like, this arbor belonged to my father. And then she says, do you mean your donor? Oh, which is where it's done for Boba Fett. Boba Fett's killing people.
Yeah, so him and Casca get in a physical fight now, which I guess thankfully all these patrons started filing out because they're flying into bar tables and she's beating his ass.
She's beating his ass. Dude,
she totally... They're
going toe for toe.
Throw each other and break the same concrete table. So they eventually kind of like get stuck and start like flamethrowing.
I was gonna say the flamethrower off is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and then Bo starts pontificating again. I'm like, please stop. If we had any of this kind of like fight with Emma, we would still have our planet.
And then she keeps going, like, you know, doesn't she say something again about that Mandalorians are better together again right after she was fucking Mandalorian gatekeeping?
Yes,
she's the biggest hypocrite in the world.
She literally even says, like, our planet, but while looking at all four of them, but early in this scene, she was accusing Boba Fett of not being a Mandalorian. I was like, which one is it?
What have I always said?
The Mandalorian's greatest enemy or other Mandalorians?
Yes.
I mean, can we also talk about how he's still just rocking that skirt?
Yes.
Thank God.
Even throughout the fight, which honestly probably worked better for him.
Okay, so this is when, she starts giving Bo-Katan starts giving another speech about the Darksaber and how important it is and how, like, she needs it if she's going to retake Mandalore. And then basically just sighs and is like, look, lady, I just want my son back. I don't give a fuck about that.
He's like, the child is my only priority.
Yeah. So then they cut on to, just the little ship parking lot. It seems like, I guess, Kara has arrived. Dr. Fetching is still there. I'm just assuming. I don't know. It seemed like it was only Din. But anyway, the other ship is there. Now everyone is together, and we're all on the Slave One. I guess Boba Fett isn't there. But I guess everyone...
Where the hell is Boba Fett?
He's like, I don't want to hang out with this other Mandalorians anymore. I'm going to be up in the cockpit, lying backwards, facing the sky.
He's in the Slave One. This is happening in the...
I know!
But Boba Fett is not in the scene.
True.
You guys, I can't stand any of you.
So we're kind of all like having a little planning meeting of what they're going to do. They have a scan of Moff Gideon's cruiser, Bo-Katan says that it'll probably only have a skeleton crew, and then Dr. Fetching, who's sitting there in handcuffs, warns them about the dark trooper. Well, he speaks up and says, like, I don't think that's true, and then Kara
he says your assessment is misleading.
Yeah, and then Kara's like, oh, you have an opinion, because, you know, she's a cop now, so that's how she's treating him. But then Bowen didn't, like, wait, let him talk. So he explains that there is a whole platoon of dark troopers on there. And he says that the dark troopers are now just droids. Because I think Din asked, like, how many soldiers do they have in that armor?
Yeah,
and he's like, there aren't. It's just all droids now. Specifically saying, like, the human was the last weak element. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a Nazi-esque line.
I like it because they're 100% like, they canonized the dark troopers line specifically. And we saw this first in the Star Wars Dark Force game.
Okay, so then they kind of just let Dr. Fetching get up, and he starts kind of showing them through the little diagram, saying, like, where everything is. So Bo says that they can attack it on two teams, and then Din's like, no, I want to go by myself. Any reason for that, or you just think he's just like, I can't, like,
I don't know.
One thing I thought of, maybe his initial thing was like, as soon as I get there, I'm taking off my helmet to show the baby.
I thought maybe that.
Well, if he was at least like, I'm gonna go and fuck off. He's like, I want to be on a team, but I only want Kara on it.
He's like, Kara's a cop now. Peace.
No, I was saying that he wanted Kara with him because they're friends. I do like their friendship throughout this.
Now he said, but the reason.
Oh, because Kara's being too much of a cop. She's like, oh, okay.
He said, I'm from Navarro. Fuck the police. You betrayed us, Kara.
Okay, so. Suppose that's like, okay, fine. So she says that Kara, Fennec, and Casca will make take the ship into the launch area, then they'll make their way to the bridge. Well, Din will sneak out afterwards. They show him where the break is. He'll have to get past the room where the dark troopers are held, but Fennec steals Dr. Fetching's code cylinder and gives it to Din and be like, use this, you can seal the door closed, and you should be able to make your way back and get Grogu.
And this look at the end here between Poe and Finnick.
Yeah, which he says, like he'll be able to get past, and she's like, I have confidence we'll be able to take care of everything else. And while even the scene was going, I was like, wait. Because she's, Bo says it really fast. I was like, wait, Bo, Casca, Finnick, and Dune. I was like, so all the four women are going to be going and attacking the ship? And I was like, this is going to be a fun scene. So
they take the Imperial Lambda, which, again,
yes,
is just a call out to A New Hope.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't talk about how horribly sexually awakened hearing Boba Fett say princess and little one was.
Was it the Australian accent?
Yes.
New Zealand accent.
And also that he's like being a total asshole at the same time.
Oh,
yes, he does keep like derogatory and calling Boba Fett princess. No.
Wait, I wanted to say one other thing.
Okay.
About that little start. Oh, there was that one with the, where they were looking at each other, Bo and Finnick, and then Din's in the background, and it was like, someone captioned it, and it was like, huh, so I guess they're gay. Good for them. That was so funny. Because he's just standing there, like, awkwardly in the background.
So we cut, and we're going through hyperspace. Boba Fett is trailing the Imperial ship in Slave One. And then Bo-Katan again makes sure that no one else kills Moff Gideon. Or no one else. She just says Moff Gideon is mine. And then
he must... I don't care what happens to him as long as he surrenders to me.
Yes, because Kara says that she wants him alive because he's ex-IBS, which I know...
ISB! I'm going to keep saying that again. I'm dyslexic and I keep thinking it's the Irritable Bowel Syndrome. I've seen that, so yes.
Okay.
ISB. But
I know you guys said
it's like...
Imperial
Sniper Brigade.
What?
Oh, no, wait.
No,
sorry.
It's Imperial Security Bureau.
That's it. My bad.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I think
like
you last episode you said it was similar to like the Gestapo, basically.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So you basically, Kara says that he's going to have a lot of information. The New Republic wants him alive.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, that's Bo-Katan's like, I don't care what the fuck happens to him. He just has to surrender to me. So then they jump into hyperspace and Boba Fett starts shooting at him.
Can I talk about the fact that the Slave One has its own like special blaster sound compared to every other ship?
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
So Bo-Katan hails the cruiser with a distress call and requests to land. They're specifically received by a hot officer
who makes a little bit of a face.
She makes a face like she recognizes the voice. And almost to the thing, I thought of this of like, okay, I was trying to think like, why did Bo-Katan do the message? Because you think like, but then I was thinking like, did Bo-Katan do the message for a reason? Because she knew whoever was someone who receives it might hear it. But I was like, who even has the least like exposure with the New Republic? I was like, maybe Casca?
I was going to say maybe Casca.
But like, anyway, so this is the whole, do you want to get into this theory?
Yeah, so I'll get into this theory real quick, because this is one that came up as we were kind of, this was last episode where people were theorizing what would happen in this episode, where this theory came up, and I haven't heard it talked about much since because the specifics of that theory didn't happen, but I still think that it's important because we don't see Hot Officer die. I watched.
No, I made sure.
Yeah, we don't, and also there's obviously time from when this call is happening, like the last time Hot Officer talks to them, and when they get to the bridge for someone to escape because Gideon manages to do it because
mm-hmm.
he's in the brig.
Yeah.
So there's definitely time for her to get out of there. So some people have suggested that she could possibly be Sabine Wren, who is a Mandalorian from Rebels, who I guess she does kind of fit the age time. She'd be in her 20s, right? She was like young, like
she
girl,
was the same
was
age.
Teens.
She was the same age as Ezra.
Yes.
And yeah, they were like early teens.
Thank God, though, if it is that she's not in that horrible armor. I hate her fucking
You
armor.
Hate her armor?
It's like
it's got hot rod flames, basically.
It's like all this random coloring. It's short sleeve. Literally, her arms
so
are
is Kara's. Like that's.
But she's a Mandalorian.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense.
It's not good. It's like way. It's just chaotic.
But would Sabine would know Bo-Katan, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Sabine was the person who gave Bo-Katan the Darksaber,
and she accepted it then.
Well, I'll talk about that.
We'll bring that up later.
I
got beef.
But yeah, also. The actress, she does look very similar to the character.
Yes, because I've been
she
seeing
has
a lot
short
of
hair,
pictures
dark eyes,
of her.
Her square jaw, you know. Also, I mean, I know we mentioned the actress's name.
That is very stupid looking armor.
It's the worst.
I have to make sure the armor.
What is her name again? The
Katie Ann O'Brien.
That's right. I want to get Katie Sackhoff. I was like, no, it's the other Katie. What is her last name?
Too many Katies on the show.
That she's a martial artist.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems weird to cast her. And also, wasn't she in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too?
Oh, I can look it
up.
She
was somewhere. So it seems kind of strange to put someone like that as like a random Imperial.
Yeah, someone who is as... so far has just been sitting in front of desks and walking around giving messages of why she's like a buffish martial artist.
And even that, I would say that her character, like just even picking her as a background character, would be kind of a strange choice.
Hey, she's from Indiana.
Who cares about
Indiana? Oh, it's close by. Okay, she was in 3 episodes in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in 2020.
Okay. But yeah, it seems odd to put someone, first of all, that's somewhat well-known, at least in like, you know, other Disney TV shit, to put her in a nothing character spot.
Yeah.
With no name, where she looks at a computer and she's buff as hell and a martial artist and this like crazy lesbian. And we all know that Jon Favreau loves casting women who can fight as women who can fight. And
yeah.
I mean, that's why we unfortunately got Gina Carano. But I mean, then we also got Finnick.
That's how we got me.
Finnick. I just said Finnick. Finnick, like from Game of Thrones. The game, oh my god, Hunger Games.
I guess you're Finnick and Fennec.
Just think of it like the fox. That's honestly how I've been remembering it.
Fennec
fox have the big ears.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's why she keeps posting fox emojis when she posts stuff about Fennec.
Oh, well, she has an actual emoji now because I saw it get all like happy.
Another weird thing. Axe has one too. Why did Axe randomly get one?
Cobb got one too.
Cobb got one?
Oh, yes. God, I haven't looked at these.
I think it might have been.
Did Frog Lady? Did Frog?
I don't know. It might have just been Ming-Na Wen was so excited. I think she was retweeting everyone else tweeting their own emojis.
Yeah, I think that's where I saw Axis. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So Moff.
Hot Officer, maybe Sabine. That's
yes. Yeah. Hot Officer looks at least looks like she's. I don't know. She's looking.
She looks like she should be something.
Yeah. And so Moff Gideon says that to release the TIE fighters again. Hot Officer looks like she's a bit reluctant to do it, but then does it. So a couple of the fighters go out. They start chasing the Slave One, and then Bo starts flying the ship into the launch tube while Hot Officer keeps saying, like, no, don't fly it into there, like, and Bo says that they're doing this so they can't send any more out of them. So then Bo's able to fly the ship inside of the launch tube and kind of,
crash lands.
It's definitely a crash land.
Yeah.
The landing gear comes off.
And so then Boba Fett peels off and then is able to take out the TIE fighters before he jumps off into hyperspace.
Immediately fucks off.
Well, Bo-Katan didn't tell him to do that.
I know, but I think I think Gideon has pretty much gotten already that shit's going down.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But if it was that moment where he keeps kind of engaging them, not really, and then immediately there and he goes, bam, bam, bye. immediately takes out the two and leaves, I'd be like, okay, we're definitely keeping
it. Which is might be what he says, because I thought it was going to take him longer to engage the Dark Troopers, but so the ship is crash landed onto the cruiser, and then the bay door comes down and Cara, Fennec, Bo, and Casca get out and just start killing all of these stormtroopers.
Specifically, don't they shoot two before they even leave the
yes.
Yeah, they shoot, which is again a New Hope reference.
So they're able to take all these guys out, and this is just the start of a really fucking cool fight scene that is all women.
I know, I just put hot girl stuff.
Yeah.
We're what are you doing? We're doing hot girl stuff. That's what they're doing.
Because Bo-Katan's able to rope one of them, starts pulling him back, and then Casca jumps up and knees him in the face.
They waste the opportunity to play Bad Girls by M.I.A.
Do some weird cover of it.
Yeah. Oh, well then, right after we have the weird music of the Dark Troopers.
Dubstep? Yeah.
Yes, I did notice.
It fits.
Did you have opinions about it?
I did. I think it's only the time, not here as much, but when they're flying back onto the ship later, that was the most dubstep that shit was. And I was just like, this is supposed to be a really tense moment. Get this dubstep out of here.
Honestly, the thing was,
I didn't even think about your robots.
I didn't even notice it until the fourth time.
I mean, that might have been my fourth time, but I don't really remember a lot of the first too, so.
Yeah, but I mean, I always saw people making jokes about it, and then I was like, oh, was that dubstep? I don't remember thinking the music was weird. It was only that I was aware that it was there did I actually notice it, so I think it fit pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, Ludwig does whatever the fuck he wants.
So we did cut up to the bridge. Moff getting set to engage the Dark Troopers. It was another slightly reluctant shot of Hot Officer, but she doesn't do what someone else does.
Mm-hmm.
Then Din is walked out of the ship and he starts sneaking around, and then we cut back to all of the women who are
on a death bridge.
This is an extra level of death bridge too, because they can fall
off. If you fall off, you immediately are ejected out of the ship.
Yeah, so yeah, they kind of
why would you design this?
Yeah, I don't know. So they for this specific whole thing that happens. So yeah, they're kind of walking across this death bridge. Troopers come at them from both sides. The Mandalorians fuck off. Fennec and Cara shoot a bunch of them. They turn around. There's another one. And then the Mandalorians come back up again and just shoot all of them. They all look at each other yeah, we're being hot. And then they keep going into running off into a hallway.
He said, are we gonna have an orgy? Well, if I could just stay in the cockpit of the slave one again, he won't pay attention.
Well, Din's off with playtime with Grogu, I guess.
No, Din's off crying.
Oh, well, I mean, if the mission had gotten differently.
Yes.
So yeah, we got Din still kind of sneaking around. We keep getting different shots of the dark troopers powering up.
Mm-hmm.
So the four fighters get over to the little like storage cargo bay thing where there's just lots of crates and obstacles. Fennec starts running ahead of everyone else and tells him to cover her. So she takes out a bunch of them and it's just being that one being cool as fuck. She's like kicking them and then shooting them. And then once she like jumps, spin kicks it.
Yes.
Like, yeah, everyone kind of gets their own like individual killing shots too.
But Fennec is definitely longer. And I don't think Fennec, I love Fennec. So I don't think I noticed it during this, but now I'm like, oh, so this is why.
Oh, yeah. That is 100% the reason why.
You know, because, like, the Book of Boba Fett. Like,
oh, yeah. They're like, they want to show off this character. Don't you
yes.
want to watch this new show we're making
yes.
with her as one of the focal points?
Oh, yeah. That, too. And I think also a little bit that, like, I'm sure Bo-Katan and Casca could be doing the same things, but, like, Fennec doesn't have a helmet on, and I'm sure it's just Ming-Na Wen doing the majority of those stunts.
Yes.
Yeah. So...
yeah, so they start kind of going on. Yeah, they're still fighting in there, or did they get to another hallway?
I think they got to another hallway.
Yeah.
And then we see the dark
troopers.
Okay, yeah, because we keep cutting.
We gotta build up those dark troopers. We spent a lot of money on the CGI for this.
Yes, yeah, we do keep intercutting with like the dark troopers, and then every so often, Dane kind of sneaking around corners and stuff.
I'm sorry, I really don't get why they had to be refrigerated. I know it worked. We needed time for them to start up.
I mean, it's a cool visual.
But they said he said it would take too much power to keep them powered up. But they're clearly using power to keep them refrigerated. Don't they have some kind of
battery? They're probably just using carbonite.
Maybe that compartment just isn't insulated, so it's just space is keeping them cold.
They had all the tubes.
They
had
refrigeration
tubes.
They
did
have tubes. Okay.
Anyways.
Maybe they have to be cold because so much power is in them, they would like overheat or something.
Okay,
possible.
Maybe
I can't believe that.
That is the only solution I get.
That
okay.
is the only thing good is cold is good on electricity for.
I will say here in the next scene where I did also want. I'm sorry. Ooh, my brain's two steps ahead. I do like this whole ideal of, because they did kind of flip this, as you were saying, like there's a lot of New Hope vibes with them taking it down. And, you know, I feel like this is a lot of kind of flips that script of most of the time. They have the men characters go and shooting everyone, and the women are sneaking around for a specific purpose.
Yeah.
Yes.
They definitely did the flip around.
I do like the switch of it of like, yeah, the four women are being badass, and Din is too sad. So, like, too sad not to be.
And then
being...
the man is looking for his child.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that they really flipped it.
So then Din starts seeing around. And he comes across an RA-7,
mm-hmm.
which is the droid.
Oh,
we see.
That's what the droid is.
Yeah, it's a protocol droid, just like C-3PO. That's why it has a similar design.
And it has its legs switched. So in the originals, C-3PO had one of his legs were silver,
and
the same leg is gold on this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Also, like I love the fact that this one's big. It's only a minor character in Star Wars as a whole, is because they designed the toy first, and then the toy sales for that action figure specifically did so well. They're like, well, now we have to put this in the movie somewhere.
Pretty much what happened to Boba Fett.
It is exactly what happened. the extra character you had to collect all the other box backs for, and then it had a spring-loaded,
So that little droid thing walks by, and then Din is getting to the room where all the dark troopers are, and he gets, oh no, we then cut back all of the women for a second, and there's two more. Okay, because, yeah, this is the scene we're gonna have. Okay, so they're kind of, Kara and Finnick are at the front, and they start going, and then Kara's gun jams, which I thought was going to be important. I mean, it does set up to the fact that she is then able to use it as like a club in like clubs, like two guys to gas, and then Fennec shoots one to save her. But I
kind of like that it didn't have anything to do with that.
Because see, I thought it was because I thought someone was going to die in this episode. And when that first happened, I was like, oh fuck, we've given Kara a weakness. Like, and I thought I was like, maybe we're going to set it up. Oh, at least someone was going to get really, really injured or something. And I was like, okay, but like Kara has some sort of, I thought it was going to mean something. It doesn't. Fennec has it. They all get to the elevator. So then we cut back to, and Din's gotten to the room with the dark troopers about 5 seconds too late.
And he does his classic apparent catchphrase of this season. It's not this is the way anymore. No, no, no.
Yes. So he runs up. He tries to stop it. He's able to get the doors to start to close, but one is too close to it. And he's able to like scarily like pull the doors open. It's very like Terminator-esque.
Just for the
face. And so then it gets out and it just is able to toss Din like across this little hallway. And then gets him up on the wall and just starts
punching him into the steel.
Repeatedly in the helmet.
So this is what the helmet's for. before.
Yeah,
yeah, but you've said it before, like, the fact that, like, his nose isn't broken when he takes his helmet off later. I was like, he has, like, a little line. I was like, is that just the padding from the helmet? I was like, I feel like you'd be bleeding like you were at the end of last season.
Yeah, but that, I mean, I guess, yeah, I don't know. Because those hits, honestly, but those hits, his head was already against the wall.
Yeah, and I guess
so
it's probably, like, why, it is in the very center.
Moving that much, where with an explosion, your head's going to go, like,
yeah,
you know, up and down.
Yeah, so he flamethrowers the insides of his things.
Yeah, and it only kind of really seems annoyed, and then it just tosses Din away.
Yeah.
So he's...
And Din definitely does give it all he has. He gets his ass kicked.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
he uses the whistling birds, he gets thrown back, like, he's able to finally get to his spear, and then stabs the guy through the neck, and then decapitates him. And then he's able to get up to... And all the doctors have been pounding on the glass, and then he's able to get up to kind of the lever, and is able to open up the bay door at the back of the room. They all get sucked out of the ship.
Which at first, remember, I was like, when we were watching this really drunk, I was like, why would they even have that in there? But then I remembered on Typhon, they came out of a random spot of the ship to fly down.
See,
they don't have to go through hallways. That makes sense.
Yeah, that does. Okay.
Also, Dank Ferrick.
Yes, we cut back to the elevator and Kara's gun is still jammed and she's... So I guess the gun was jammed for a moment of comedy because she's like, Dank Ferrick, son of a mother's... And she's like just Star Wars cussing at it and everyone's like, even Bogatell's like, do you need any help with that?
Yes.
But
no, I like this. It's kind of funny, like this weird pause in it, and then like she figures it out, and she it's so big she tries to turn it, but it has to, like,
yeah,
we
know,
and
ducks underneath it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
so we decided that we were gonna do shots every time someone said Dank Ferrick.
So yeah, so
Dank Ferrick.
Dank Ferrick. So yeah, so she's able to get it, yeah, working again, and then like she smashed it, like slams it onto the ground, and then gets it working.
Yeah,
then swings it over Fennec's head, and yeah, then the door opens, and they're able. Yeah, this is the elevator up to the bridge, and they're able to start taking out like everyone. So they're getting like, yeah, they're running through, getting closer and closer, and this is, yeah, they start like taking everyone out, and that's when I was looking at, because there were a couple of officers still in the bridge, and it doesn't look like any of them is Hot Officer.
Yeah, one person falls, and at first I thought maybe, but they're very thin, and it's a man.
Yeah. So they get up to the top there, and then Bo-Katan's like, where's Moff Gideon? And then we cut over to Din, and he's gotten to the brig. And I feel like because these are the armed guards that are guarding the brig, he breaks this one guy's neck with his spear and seems to spend a lot of time killing him. He
stabs the other.
Can you imagine you're a stormtrooper? And you know someone is taking like over the ship, and all of a sudden a Mandalorian comes and fucking kills you with a spear. You're like, wait, I thought it was in Star Wars. Where am I?
They have a little bit more dignity because their predecessors were killed by bows and arrows from tiny teddy bear men.
That is true. I guess getting killed by a spear.
A Mandalorian spear is way better than sticks and rocks. Okay.
Yeah, but I guess you've gotten something from someone else being like, there are four women with guns, and then suddenly a man with a spear attacks you.
You're
like, it is kind of more terrifying, let's be honest.
You're like, who's a samurai with a spear? What movie am I in?
Okay, but, okay, pause for a second here, though, because, not the podcast, like, our conversation. I kind of wish that this episode was broken into two, and the first part ended right here. I think it would have been cool if it went, because I feel like everything that happens later, it happens so fast, which is why I was so mad the first time, because
But I think it was intentional.
Yeah, but every emotional beat is so small, and I wish it would, like, we would have gotten a little bit longer, because if we, make the believer, like, I don't know, a 20-minute start of that episode, and then put everything that happens here at the end of episode 7, and then you end episode 7 with Bo-Katan saying, where is Moff Gideon? We cut to Din. He does this. He opens the door and sees Moff Gideon holding the darksaber over Grogu. And then, like, the music goes crazy and we cut to credits.
So, I get what you're saying. I'm going to play devil's advocate. Like,
okay.
I 100% kind of agree with you. I feel it. But I also I think most of the way how this feels. But again, I think that the whole problem with that is that, or like, saying to, like, build the emotional impact and that everything happened, like, so quick later that it's, like, makes you more angry and upset. Like, you know, at the end of it. Is what I think it is because everything's in Din's perspective.
Yeah.
If you think about it, in this time, it was like less than an hour that this happened, that he boarded the ship, found his child, took Moff Gideon, randomly became the, you know, the leader of this fucking planet, and then has to give his child away. So I think that it is, like, supposed to make you kind of angry because everything's in Din's perspective.
Yeah.
For Din, all
these
emotional points did happen way too fucking quickly.
But there's just stuff of, like, we don't actually get a scene of him picking up Grogu. Like, we don't even get that. Like, in that annoying, like, we don't get that. There's a couple things where I was like, you could have taken a little bit more time and just done a freaking reaction shot here. And it feels like, I guess if we spend Like, we don't get to see Din pick up Grogu, but we spend 5 minutes on Luke Skywalker walking through the fucking ship. And I'm just like, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here for Din and Grogu. Like,
I think I agree with that in general. I think that, and I think that's been true from the beginning of this series, is that I think we always want to see more of just Din and Grogu's normal ass life.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have done more in general for the entire series.
Yes.
I mean, obviously we are still that connected to them.
Yeah.
That people are nonstop writing fan fiction for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But like, you know, at the same time, it would be nice to just see like them doing nothing. Or just, like, this moment of, like, you know, like, some of people's favorite scenes are the stuff with, like, from this season, some of my favorite scenes are, like, when they're drinking soup and when the baby throws up and he's, you know, like, it's, like, that little stuff.
Hiding in a spittoon.
It's that little stuff that makes this, like, really fun. But I guess also, like I said, playing devil's advocate, they don't get a lot of that nothing time.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But,
I feel both. I feel where I like this overall, but I also, as someone asked me at work, literally someone just went up to me and went, thumbs up, thumbs out. Because I was walking into work. And I was like, he was like, the finale? I was like, thumbs up, I think. I have some complaints, but thumbs up.
Thumbs up, but I want like 3-tier tattoos.
He was like literally walking out to leave, and I was walking in. But of course, everyone at my work knows to talk to me about Mandalorian.
Also
that when Grogu's in the little binders, he reaches his hands out.
Yeah, as soon as he sees Denny.
Also, did no one else notice that his little hands could fit through the binders?
Well, I'm guessing there's some.
There's probably some.
There's
like
light.
Tech,
I feel like
it's
gonna like zap him or something. So yeah, Din walks in, Moff Gideon's holding the Darksaber above Grogu, and it was just a baby Grogu. But I mean, whatever.
He's
I guess.
Baby
Grogu.
So Din just immediately, like usual, when it comes to Grogu, is complying completely with Moff Gideon. Says, so like, put your blaster down, kick it to me. Din just does that.
And he says, let me take the child. He said, the child's fine where he is.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because you have him in handcuffs. I saw one thing from the episode where, from the tragedy where someone was like, the stormtroopers, they were like, wait, we have baby handcuffs? Maybe we are the bad guys.
Moff Gideon a little bit like Bo-Katan earlier just starts pontificating about the importance of the Darksaber and
order.
Yeah, and then Din literally just says, where is this going? And he's just like, I don't care about your supervillain speech. Give me my son back.
I forgot that he said that.
I love it.
Can we wrap this up?
And Moff Gideon says, like, the sword represents power and ever has it. He's able to lay claim to the throne of Mandalore. And then Din is basically like, how many times do I have to say this? I just want my son. Din just tells him, like, okay, like, just keep it. Like, just keep it. Just let me take the child and go.
He says that thing of, like, Bo-Katan has probably realized I'm not there. Like, Bo-Katan's looking for me because she wants this.
Yes, he does call he says Bo-Katan and her boarding party are murderous savages, which is kind of like, okay, yeah, it was badass and cool, but, like, you guys did kill, like, probably 55 people while making
I think that's also a lot of people's ideals of Mandalorian. Especially Imperials.
They're sex.
And then
he tells him basically, like, okay, yeah, you can have Grogu. Let me go.
What I was trying to get to was that Moff Gideon says, like, yeah, you can take him. I already got what I wanted for him, which was just his blood. Like,
and he says, the child is very gifted. He has the possibility to bring order to
the galaxy.
Which even more with the Snoke clones.
We're saying order again. They keep saying that they're trying to bring order to everything.
Yeah,
and then they...
Order.
Yeah.
You know who else was obsessed with order? Someone else who had the same kind of design on his, you know, armor. He liked to wheeze a lot.
Yeah, and Din again is like, sure, whatever. Can I just have my son back? And he's like, okay, yeah, sure, you can take him. And so then Din, like, walks up trying to pick up Grogu, and then fucking Moff Gideon attacks him from behind
what
with the
dog.
What
did you expect?
He's two dad. That's what he wasn't thinking.
And also, aren't you a man of your word?
Oh, God.
Oh.
Gideon made a deal.
Yeah.
He was expecting Gideon to honor the deal. That's the whole that's what has gotten Din in trouble this whole season.
Yes.
He thinks when everyone makes a promise, they're going to keep it like he does. Bo didn't keep it.
No.
I mean, I guess Cop kind of kept it, but definitely he got into more than he thought he was going to get into that whole shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even Pelly with saying that she knew the passenger.
Yeah.
I mean, like, literally every single person keep being like, the only person that's actually honored their deal, ironically, is Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Got the chain code.
Yeah.
I mean, Boba Fett, Finnegan, I guess a little bit Frog Lady. He did get her to the planet, and then her husband was able to tell her where Mandalorian
was. It was really only Pelly that was fucking him up.
not even Ant-Man.
So apparently that was practical.
That was a practical. That was a puppet.
What was
the ant?
The ants from The Passenger.
Remember when she's playing cards with like the Ant-Man thing?
Oh.
Yeah, because in that totally chaotic Comedy Central interview that Pedro Pascal's on, they were asking, like, we know you haven't been in the helmet the whole time, but, like, is it cool to, like, see certain things through the helmet? Like, what is, like, your biggest moment for that? And he's like, well, of course, like, and he was like, well, first you can't see anything. And he was like, but I would say the baby was, like, also, like, you know, when, like, I was sitting in, like, Amy Sedaris playing cards with, like, that.
Dr. Mandible.
Yeah, Dr. Mandible. But he said, like, that big ant thing. He was like, that was really cool. So that was an act.
It was, like, a whole puppet?
Yeah.
Well, you always get credit to Star Wars. They've always blended CGI with puppetry.
I said, I'm not looking forward to Christmas. I'm looking forward to season 2 of The Gallery. That starts on Christmas.
So,
yeah, back to the Darksaber fight.
Yeah, so, Moff Gideon is able to, like, because he just, like, attacks Din, so he's able to just hit him out of the room with the Darksaber.
And Din's doing the sexy...
gauntlet blocks.
Yeah, because that's, like, all he can do because he was taken so off guard. I'm like, wait, I'm just going to take my son and leave. I'm finally done with this nonsense. So he, like, once they get out into the hallway, Din is able to get away from Moff Gideon a little bit enough that he is able to get the spear out. And then they start fighting.
I love that shot of the Darksaber and then Din pulls out. It's like on Din pulls out the Darksaber and then he pulls out the spear.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the every collision with, like, every time they hold the Darksaber to the supposedly pure Beskar spear that can fight against lightsabers, it almost melts.
Well, it doesn't melt, it's just heated.
It's super heated.
Yes, it's super heated.
For it to glow like that, you can
bend it. It's a very thin part of Beskar. I mean, Bo-Katan did say earlier that the Darksaber can cut through almost anything but pure Beskar.
He's blocking it with his gauntlets.
But those are huge.
But are they thicker than the spear?
I feel like there's just more surface area.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, that makes sense. Heat disperses over surface.
I'm bringing more science and electrical stuff than you are this episode.
Oh, also, I really want to say about that little back kick.
That is the coolest fucking thing.
It's totally unnecessary. It's barely, again, gay. He's bi. He's bi.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
he's a bi himbo. That's
it's just some bi drama. But what did he like?
He like has it down because it's like still when you took it out because like on the spearhead was like at the top of his thing. So when you took it out, he put it like this.
Yeah,
because he was just trying to block. So the spearhead was in the back. Mm. So then when he did the kick, he brought it to the front to get the point there.
Yeah. So
and then he does. This is also what I like about like the fact that like obviously this isn't a real lightsaber battle. Because first of all, you can totally tell that Gideon doesn't actually know how to fight with a lightsaber. Like, he knows how to fight with the Darksaber, but he's fighting, like, full... Like, he's chopping.
Yeah, he's much more, like... Yeah, it's more like...
It's not, like, the flowing of a lightsaber fight that you expect.
Yeah, it's more like he's like, broadsword fighting than, like, samurai sword fighting.
Yeah. So, I like that, first of all. And then I also like that, like... Because this is a very, like, also, like, a Mandalorian culture thing of, like, a fighting. Is that, like, Din isn't... There's basically, when you're fighting someone, there's no, like, rules of honor. If your family, your tribe, and you survive in that order, so your family first, your tribe second, you, then it's honorable no matter what the fuck you do.
Okay.
So if you're in a fight and you're having a lightsaber fight and you kick someone in the balls and they go down and then you cut off their head, honorable. You survived, your family survived, your tribe survived.
Which does make sense of how Din decides to end this fight.
Yeah, he like kicks him in the side and he like pushes it, like he's not like, you know, engaging in just like the, oh, I need to use my spear and this battle. He's kicking and guarding and
In contrast to how Ahsoka and Morgan Elspeth were fighting.
Yes.
Because once Din does flick the Darksaber away from Moff Gideon, he just whacks him in the face with the spear a couple times because he's just mad. And then he gets him onto the ground, holds the spear like right at his neck, and then Moff Gideon is like, oh, you're sparing my life. How interesting. This is when Giancarlo Esposito like goes up like 14 levels of how good of a villain he is.
Oh, right.
Moff Gideon is just...
Did you see his tweet?
No.
Oh my God.
Didn't we talk about this last episode?
I think we talked about... Yeah, his kids basically said like, you're not going to kill the baby, right? And he told them to their face like, I'm going to kill the little bastard.
You did not say that.
Oh my God. Like, my daughters are like really big fans and like a few of them have texted me and been like, Dad, you can't kill the baby. Dad, you can. And he was like, I'm going to squash that little bastard.
Is great.
How old are his kids? They must be like adults.
I hope
he's not making like 7-year-olds cry or something.
Oh God, speaking of 7-year-olds cry, yesterday before Brett had actually watched the episode, he showed me this TikTok. He was like, oh, I gotta show you something. This little like, this reminds me of you. And he showed me it, and it's this like little girl, probably like 8 or 10.
Right,
like,
her
eight,
whole day.
Yeah, it was her whole day. She's just like crying.
And she's not allowed to tell her mom because her mom has a mom. Shout out to Juliet LOC.
Is that the TikTok?
That's the TikTok. I gotta give them credit because that is just,
it's so
gold.
Funny.
She's losing it the whole day.
She was like, what's wrong? She's like, it was a sad ending. What? The Mandalorian? Yeah. She's like brushing her teeth and she's still crying. And I was like, yes, that's how I'm gonna be for the next fucking year.
So, yeah, Din is defeated Moff Gideon, got him on the ground, and yeah, he's like, ah, oh, interesting that you aren't killing me.
He's ready for the tea. Gideon's just drinking the tea of this drama.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, everyone in this show is gay.
Which, well, because I thought of, like, the two things of, like, it was, like, Kara wants him alive because he has Republic that could be useful. He has Republic. He has information that could be useful to the New Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And Bo-Katan kept saying that he has to, that Moff Gideon has to surrender to her. So Din's like, okay, fine. So then we cut onto the bridge, and that's what I was saying. This is a specific shot where they frame her like a villain. She is standing where Moff Gideon always is, with her arms clasped behind her back, looking out the window.
Yeah,
she's a villain.
It's very Imperial Officer of how she's standing.
Well,
like,
she isn't, and she never has not been a villain.
Yeah,
that's kind of.
Like,
but I like
anytime she's, anytime she appears, she's kind of
antagonistic.
Yeah,
well, she's kind of at the best that she is. Like, the best we ever see her is usually a redeemed villain.
Yeah,
in some amount of way. You know what I mean? She's no longer Death Watch. But she still kind of...
She did lead to the downfall of her planet.
Yeah, she's not really Death Watch, but she only didn't become Death Watch after it wasn't useful to her and her sister died. And, you know, it's like this back and forth of, like, she's very, very morally ambiguous.
I was going to say, moral gray area character.
Yeah, and I like that, and I don't know if I really realized that all that much until this episode, and especially with, like, this shot, and then what is it
about
to
happen. Oh, this is the way back in Din's face and the heiress.
Yeah, but I feel like that was sort of just like, I'm a fucking little cult boy, like, whatever.
You are a cult boy.
And, like, I feel like it was almost a little bit of, like, a bullying thing, but I really liked that shot. So
yes.
Then,
I didn't even think of it as, like, Imperial Officer Frank. I really didn't.
It's
even...
because, like, Moff Gideon has been standing there, like, four other times in the season, standing the exact same
way. That exact same blur in the background and everything.
Yeah. So then she, the doors to the bridge open, and Din is holding Grogu in one arm, the Darksaber in the other, and literally kicking Moff Gideon forward. And, oh my God.
He's just smart. He's got a big ass smile.
I fucking love the looks in this scene, because Bo-Katan is, like half confused / mad, and then Finnick has about the same. Casca has about the same. Finnick is like, huh, well, this is interesting. And Kara, like Din, is not a main character in Star Wars. She's a side character. She's just like,
baby.
Oh my God, my friend is back and he got his son. And, so you go to Khan's like, what happened?
She's literally that meme of the guy blinking going,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Where he's like blinking and looking
yes,
at that's literally what she is.
Yeah. And so like Kara's got like all excited. And I was like, he didn't kill him. That's what happened. This just means the New Republic's going to have to devil his bounty. She like taps him in the arm and pats Grogu. And standing there like, yeah, we did it. Like, well, the season's done. Like, we succeeded. But then, nope, they're not main
and
stars.
And Moff's like, oh, no. That's not what she's
you're
talking
like,
about.
No. You don't know what you've gotten caught up in. And
he says, it's yours now. And it's like, what is? With the Darksaber.
Yeah, and then Kara shoves him to the ground because, one, she's mad and annoyed with him, and also she's a cop now. So,
are you going to get your baton out too?
She says, oh, no, he's a character of color.
But the Moff says like, well, it's yours now. He's like, well, now it's hers, and he like hands it over to her.
And even like the music almost was a little bit of well, I guess with what you were saying, everything's from Din's perspective, because he's like, well, I'm doing a big thing. He's like, well, you take no, it's hers.
Well, even let's talk about the shot. Din's the one who has all the power here.
Yes,
and he's the lower view, and she's looking down.
Yeah,
Courtney, would you say she has the high ground?
She has the high ground.
She has the high ground.
And yet he has
the moral and literal high ground.
That is true. He has the power and the moral high ground. Yeah,
so...
And Moff's like, yeah.
Oh, he's living. Look at his face.
Yeah, Moff is... Yeah, he does. He's ready for tea. He's enjoying the fuck out of this because he's just like, no, Mandalorian. That's not how this works.
Yeah.
Like she has to, like, defeat you in combat to get it. And then...
He goes, okay, then I yield.
Yeah, he's just like, okay, I yield. And he turns him to
over, and
which is
he's like this. He's like, the Darksaber doesn't have power. The story does.
Well, that's the thing. Like, a lot of the fan base was pissed because they're like, why couldn't she just fucking take it when Sabine just gives it to her and is like, oh
yes, I know you said this when we were first talking about how Hot Officer might be Sabine. That is this like a weird retcon, or are they just ignoring previous stuff?
So she didn't earn.
I think that's
so
what
she
it
didn't
is.
Get. So the Darksaber side, she didn't get to keep it.
That's what I'm thinking is it. So here's the thing. Like he said, the story of it has power.
Yes.
Which obviously it does.
No, yeah.
You know, because the Mandalorians, the whole point of this and the whole point of why the Darksaber exists
in
general.
The first Mandalorian Jedi made
yes.
the Darksaber.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
He was a Vizsla. But the whole point of also is that anyone can challenge the Mandalore to battle, and whoever wins that battle continues or is the new Mandalore. So the whole point is that whoever has the Darksaber should be the peak best fighter, the best Mandalorian.
Oh, okay. So like the Black Panther in that way.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, kind of.
Okay. Oh my god, a Marvel movie you've seen.
Yeah. So
so now you're
yes,
gonna see
absolutely.
Iron Man floating through the background.
No, the Dark Troopers are already here. They're not here yet, Fred. But so
they're all hanging out on Thor's planet. They'll be here in a second.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I think that was the whole point here, is that Sabine gave it to her because Sabine was like literally like 17
mm-hmm.
and was like, you have the she had started training with it, but was like, I don't want to whatever.
Just the indeterminate age of Bo-Katana. I was like, she was 17. Was this 5 years ago? Was this one?
This was 7 years ago.
Okay.
Bo had the like Bo had the Darksaber 7 years ago and somehow lost it this
week. Okay.
But
I'll believe that Hot Officer is 24 is more what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah. And Bo's 75.
Or whatever.
The space radiation messes with your age.
No, somebody like did the math. She should be in her late 60s, early 70s.
Oh.
She is at least 15 to 20 years older than Boba Fett.
She's just doing those carbonite naps, you know.
Well, that's what someone did. It's not important. We can talk about it. But the whole point is that, so what people think is that basically someone challenged her and said, you can't even have this in the first place. You didn't win it. Because she took it because Sabine was basically like, well, you have this past because her before...
Her sister.
Yeah, her sister Satine mm-hmm. was the Empress of Mandalore,
yes.
which is where they started to go away from the fighting culture. So the Darksaber didn't really have as much of a power and it was mm-hmm. more of a monarchy.
Wait, sorry if this is too much of a tangent. How did your sister become the Empress of Mandalore?
So it switched from...
Bloodline?
Yeah, it switched from...
a power vacuum too.
It switched from the Darksaber battles as they've started to become more pacifist and they're trying to get in to become a monarch.
Mm-hmm.
So then they kind of became like this royal family kind of thing happening.
Okay.
And then Death Watch tried to claim power with Bo-Katan by stealing the Darksaber again and saying, no, the Darksaber's ours now.
Okay.
We're in power. It pretty much is what happened. And then Satine died. So basically they were like, well, you have this past of ruling. You know, you grew up with some ideal of how to rule a planet.
Mm-hmm.
You should have it. I shouldn't. I'm a 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have the dumbest armor ever. So you should have this. And
is that not how a 17-year-old would design their armor, though?
It is, and that's why it's dumb.
17-year-old with this aspirations of being, I don't know, a pod racer, I guess, with the flame.
But so I think that was the whole thing, and I'm guessing at some point during that 7 years people were challenging it. I mean, she said they like to think that we're split apart, we should all be united. So maybe another group said, no, you're not the Mandalore. Everything fell apart somehow.
Yeah,
he
we
got
still
it.
Don't know how it ended up with Moff Gideon.
He might have won it in battle, he might have not.
Yeah.
Who knows? But so I think that's why she's not just fucking taking it, because she knows if she just
if
fucking
she takes
it
again,
someone can just do the same shit. But if she wins it, it's different.
Yeah,
like we said, this period of time has pretty much been the collapse of all government.
Yeah,
so I think that's kind of
that's when like Moff Gideon starts going on about like how important the story is, and she can't just take it. And I do love the cuts. I do love how close and protectively Kara is standing behind Din and Grogu. Like she,
mm-hmm.
I like how the two of them are like connected together in the scene of being like, no, we're not part of the main Star Wars continuity. We're the Mandalorian lowest rung continuity. Like, just leave us alone, please.
Yes.
And also when he started going off about how like Mockingbird's like, no, it's all about the story. Is it like that's why like he says like, you know, the sword has no real power. It's about the story of how you got it. I just keep thinking of that. If I just really want, I don't know how they do Mandalorian titles. If it's like, you know, like medieval kings of England, but I really want Din to be known as Mandalorian the dad.
They do that.
That's how he fucking won the story. He made
Mandalore
the dad.
Because there's Mandalore the Great, Mandalore the Avenger.
See, I knew there was Mandalore the Great.
It wouldn't be Mandalore the dad. It'd be Mandalore the father.
Yeah, Mandalore. Mandalore Boret.
Yeah,
that's what it would be.
Oh, okay.
Mandalore. But the
Mandalore the dad.
But that could fit even better of like a uniting everyone.
Sure. Oh, he becomes the
Courtney.
He becomes the father of
of every orphan space children.
I was going to say, like, he already came from a cult. Do we want him being called father? This is another layer of cult in this show.
I saw a fan fiction that made up the word Borica for daddy.
Oh, no.
I said, how dare you? How dare you do that? I said,
So while they're having this little stand up here, alarms start going off. And Fennec goes up to one of the control panels and says that they're being boarded. Bo-Katan asks about how many life forms, and Fennec's like, none. And then we see this is where the music is the most dubstep because the dark troopers are
dubstep
all
dubstep in my Star Wars. More likely than
so they all start flying back onto the ship, and Moff Gideon's like
real smug.
He's like, well, one almost killed you earlier.
You had your hand filled full with blood.
Like, yeah, what do you think a whole platoon is gonna do? And again, like, I mean fuck you, Connor, but I love Dina Kira's friendship because even he's like, you had your hands full with one, she like looks over at him like, wait, what, you had to fight one of the dark troopers? That wasn't supposed to happen. They're kind of like security cameras all over the bridge, mm-hmm. So they're all able to kind of like be seeing all of these like troops like going into this,
and then the police brutality leads to him,
yeah, Moff Gideon starts shooting up his mouth again, and Kira's a cop, so she shoves him down, but she shoves him down near a dead officer, so there's a blaster there that he's able to cover with his cape and kind of pull closer to him.
Good thing everyone's gay so he has that cape.
Yeah, so Din goes in, sets Grogu kind of like behind one of the little control panels.
And gives him a little head pat.
Yeah, he tells him like, don't worry, kid, I'm gonna get you out of here. And then like pats him on the head.
He's like, I was so sleepy, I was doing so much force. You should have seen me. I was killing stormtroopers.
Of course, we don't know how much of his blood they told him. So, and he's been so scared. I'm gonna be like, he's a little tucker down.
You know what that means? Baby, I was legally the age to drink. He'd get drunk on wine coolers.
Oh, yeah.
Less blood.
I don't feel like they enforce drinking age anywhere in the Star Wars universe, but...
You're not wrong! Just whenever Din couldn't deal with him.
He was like, father, more scotch!
I was gonna say, whenever Din just, like, baby always being a little too much, he's just like, it's time for your special nap.
No, he's not that bad of a father.
He's close.
He's pretty close.
I thought it was better.
He just doesn't know what he's doing. He's not threatening his own kid.
He's negligent, not abusive.
Exactly, yes. So, Fennec yells for them to seal the glass doors, so they do that, and then everyone kind of starts, like, squaring up with their guns. All the dark troopers make it right to outside the doors, and they start, like, yeah.
Cool shots. Just cool shots.
Yeah, and they start kind of, like, punching at it. And then, like, Moff Gideon is still taunting Din and is basically like, you got a lot of women with guns here, but like protecting you. But like, we know after some sort of valiant standoff, the only two people in this room who are going to be alive are me and the child. And it's just like, I don't know how to react to this.
He doesn't even say alive. He says the only people, everyone's going to be dead except for me and the child. Because I don't think he would actually call the child a person.
Oh, yeah. No,
but also, I want to say, can the dark troopers only punch things?
Yeah.
Why is that their only defense? They don't have any laser cutters like IG-11. Remember he had the laser cutter to get through the grate?
Yeah,
they just punch.
I feel like a little bit in, not saying that I think the CGI is bad, but sometimes they look a lot like in the first Terminator movie when all of Arnold's skin gets burnt off. Like, obviously not that bad of CGI, but they kind of sometimes look like Terminators without skin. So I feel like I'm fine with sometimes with them just being punching because like they don't have any other enhancements.
I think that any of that was probably intentional.
Yes.
They keep saying that they like the chunky kind of 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a lot with all the security cameras in there. The footage on it really looks like it's from the 70s, which I do really like.
Yeah.
Like
it's not in color.
Well, it doesn't look in color. It's all like real grainy and it looks of like news footage from the 70s. And I kind of really like
them
that.
Then battery ramming the door. Like, this is only probably going to reach like one or two people listening, but it's very like Big O, which is an old ass anime about a giant robot that literally just punches through things. And very much the jerking motion is the exact same style.
But I mean, they keep saying that they're the best of the best. The last weakness to eliminate was humans and all they can do is punch. I don't get it.
Yeah, they haven't even...
They're so powerful, they have to refrigerate them. Like, I don't get it. Give us a credit. Those punches.
Those punches are powerful. He lit them on fire and nothing happened.
Yeah.
And
wait,
they took the spear.
But
to
that's
the
a better question. So overheating didn't have anything to do with it.
No.
Because he lit them on fire. So
maybe the initial power surge
when they were drawing the amps. Yeah. Okay. So, electrician lesson. So, when you actually turn on something with a high ampacity draw, it actually spikes higher than the rated amount. That's why your breakers are actually rated to go a little bit above what they are.
So, they should have really turned them on. So, they could have kept them unrefrigerated if they would have turned them on one at a time.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
The cool... Cold restricts electricity, so yes, they...
I can kind of...
If they had done one at a time, but, in case of emergency, you want them all on at the same time. So yes, keep them refrigerated so it doesn't spike your system.
I still just don't get why they're only punching.
Courtney, they don't want to kill the main breaker to the whole starship.
The punching is basically Din's flamethrower. They said anything's going wrong, we'll start punching.
Basically. So yeah, they're all kind of standing there, and then an alarm starts going off again, and an X-wing is approaching, and I don't know if I think it's Bo-Katan, might be like, oh, it's an X-wing or something, and okay, that good line delivery from Gina, who is just like, oh, one X-wing, we're saved.
Yeah, I will say that that's.
But the markings on it, if you a lot of people point out, if you pause it, there's certain markings on it, there's Dagobah mold.
But
she wouldn't know that. Yeah,
she may know a basic of Luke Skywalker, but she wouldn't know
the legend of, the legend of.
Yes, she wouldn't know his thing. But I do like that line. I think it's fun. And
oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it was actually with her also like now again being a part of the New Republic and her still being like, oh great, one ship, like that's all they fucking sent me for backup. So as soon as the X-Wing enters the bay, Grogu kind of perks up. And then all the Dark Troopers, stop punching the door. And everyone is, I think it's Fennec, and she's like, why did they stop? And everyone's standing there whoa, what's happening? So thankfully, all these security cameras are around everywhere. And the Dark Troopers kind of start stopping and turning around. And on security cameras, they see a hooded figure with a green lightsaber. And
no,
on
the security figures, like I said, it's black and white. At this point, I didn't know. Remember, we were watching it, and I was really drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that could be anyone. That's definitely Jedi. Who is it?
But the view from a camera... about whether it's just a lightsaber battle is very reminiscent of, again, previous Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Because that's what Ben and Darth Vader were doing. I can't think of A New Hope. They saw it over camera originally.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said want, because I'm sure later we'll be making Grogu bullying Ben Solo joke.
So Bo says, it's a Jedi, and then Din perks up. And then, we cut down this when we see the lightsaber is green.
Luke's theme is also playing through this.
It's definitely just Luke going through, and I...
This is so funny to watch you guys, because Brett was so happy.
I don't like it at all.
I love it.
I hate it.
This was where Brett was crying with joy. He was starting to cry at just Luke showing up. It's very funny to see the difference of both of your guys.
Yeah, I really don't like it. So,
because I think weirdly I fall in the middle of this.
So we cut back up onto the bridge, and it's kind of Grogu's getting more perked up and excited. Moff Gideon's getting more nervous, and then
this is interesting because obviously we know the Dark Troopers aren't happening. Bo-Katan slightly said something about a Jedi, but it seems like even before she says that, Moff is concerned.
Oh, crap. And then Grogu's kind of the second when they see the X-Men go by, Grogu's even kind of like, what is that?
But then right after that, Gideon is like, shit.
Yeah.
I think Gideon's force sensitive.
He did with the light. Oh, we need to talk about that. We jump it back a little bit. He does not know how to wield a lightsaber.
No.
He was wielding a friggin' baseball bat.
I'm not saying that he's force trained, but I'm saying he might be force.
Well, maybe if he's if it's only because the only people still alive, he's the only person still alive on the ship because it's just that platoon of the Dark Troopers.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's thinking a Jedi can take out all these fucking robots that only punch people.
Say he also is part of he has been part of the Empire, so he probably knows how dangerous it is.
But he also thinks that they're perfect. He thinks Din, he saw how well Din can fight, even Din with the darksaber,
but
Din can't defeat them. But Din has the darksaber. That's what I'm saying, is that I think that he is not... It seemed suspicious and freaked out before we actually realized that it was a Jedi. Maybe I have my time wrong.
No, they... Bo says it's a Jedi. Din turns around and is like, wait, what? And then we do cut to Moff Gideon, and that's when he looks really freaked out.
Okay, so maybe he just heard it's a Jedi.
Yes, and I think his whole thing is just, oh, it's a Jedi, and I don't think he has any way of knowing it's Luke. He's just like, oh, Jedi, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
So since he's realized this, is that he... Since he has that blaster that he got, he stands up and he starts shooting at Bo-Katan. She ends up falling aside, and Grogu is standing behind her. And then Din jumps in front and is able to block all the blasters. And I don't know if it's specifically Pedro in the armor, but I really like that when they jumps, he specifically lowers his head so that he couldn't get shot in the neck. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's just not how you would jump if you were stretching out. I feel like you put your head up and you put it down so it completely covers all of it. And then
armadillo armor.
Yeah. So then. Fennec, Koska, and Kara all turn their guns on Moff Gideon. He turns his gun on himself, but then Kara goes up, knocks the gun out of his hand, and then knocks him in the chin with the butt of her gun, and he passes out.
Yeah, and then we cut back out into the hallway. Grogu has now gotten on top of the control panel.
He's touching the screen.
Yes.
Because they're probably communicating.
Oh, you know that. Well, not even if they're communicating.
Grogu can sense them, I feel.
There is no question, because every Jedi admits the Force, like a larger band of the Force.
Mm-hmm.
Luke is Darth Vader's son. Darth Vader is still canonically the most powerful Jedi.
Yeah, well,
you cannot tell me he would not have a Force that just, like, radiates.
Well, yeah, but I mean, also, it's, like, definitely, like, this is the person that Grogu called.
We'll go call someone, and
yeah.
And I feel like this is who
I am. I mean, also, they were probably just like, can we get Mark Hamill for this show? And Mark Hamill was like, oh, yeah, bring me on. Because he, like, the day after the episode actually launched, he released on his Instagram, it's just a picture of him covering his mouth, his lips with a single finger.
That was the whole thing.
Yeah, so,
that's the reason I was really excited. I just enjoy Mark Hamill.
Yeah, so, Din is kind of like, because he, you know, got shot from all those blaster bolts, he's able to, like, kind of struggle up and kind of, like, kneel beside Grogu, and Din's kind of alternating between watching the footage and watching Grogu watch the footage of being like, okay, something's going on here, kid. And then after Luke kills, like, the last one in the hallway right outside the bridge, yeah, sure, break that off.
I just enjoy, like, how he just crushes it. Yeah.
So then after,
I don't think Luke's a little twink.
I literally just don't give a fuck. I don't care.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
So we got,
it's
this is the moment I care
back,
about. Right. We cut back inside and Grogu, like, kind of looks at it for a second and then very kind of slowly and hesitantly turns to Din and they both kind of just look at each other. And I think that to them, see, this is why I was so mad the first time we watched it, because I was a little bit too incoherent to get all these very small moments. Because I feel like, but in that moment, that little stare the two of them are having, they're like, no, this is it. This is what we have to do. Like, and Grogu's like, you said I have to go with a Jedi dad. And Din's like, I told the army that if I found new people, I had to let you go. And then, so then Grogu points at the door, he picks him up and starts walking over and is like, and...
Open the door. He's like, are you crazy?
Yeah, Finn's like, are you crazy? And then he's like, no, my toddler says it's okay, open the door.
He said, no, this baby.
So
my baby wants to hang out with this man that just killed everything.
Yeah, so no one will open the door, so Din just does it. He sets Grogu on, like, I know it's just like a chair, but it looks like an office chair, just like a generic office chair. And so he opens the door, and then, yeah, Luke comes up with a lightsaber and some fog, which is a reference to something. Isn't it the same as New Hope? Or
Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And Darth Vader and everything.
Okay.
just Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the Skywalkers are the most dramatic people in the galaxy.
Yeah, so the hooded Jedi still comes in, but then he takes his head off and, it's Luke.
CGI young Luke, too.
I don't think I want to ask you guys about the CGI. I thought it was better than any of the others we saw.
It's definitely better than the Rogue One. Because, like, this time, during Rogue One, the entire time, I'm just like, he looks plastic.
Yeah, I thought.
Is he in Rogue One?
No, not him.
Leia? No.
Grand Moff Tarkin. Is it Tarkin?
Oh, well, Grand Moff Tarkin was a completely CGI person.
Yeah, no, I know. But, like.
Yeah, this was an age.
They
now.
Had a. Yeah.
This was a CGI age now.
Yeah, no,
CGI.
That's what I'm saying. Like.
And even with, like, the Princess Leia age, like.
But yes, even the Leia one, I felt like this was better than the Leia one.
Yeah. Again, it still looked plastic.
Do you think it was worse? I mean, this is also a TV show, not a movie. I mean, I feel like we get
the center of his face looks fake. Like, just the center of his face.
It is a little off.
It looks really fake.
I think he isn't quite emoting enough.
No.
Yeah,
I feel like his eyes, his nose, and the top of his mouth don't look.
Yeah, I feel like his expression isn't as good as it would have been other.
Had it been a mainline movie.
Honestly, I think that they should have cast Sebastian Stan.
That's what you were saying the first time we watched it, and literally, was he cast at some point, or were you just saying you...
No, people. It was just a huge fan.
Yeah.
That people wanted. Because if you look at him versus... It, literally, they look nearly identical.
Yeah. I was thinking
my
that...
main issue. They would have to recreate the scar.
And that's not hard.
No, it's not, but I know.
There was just too makeup. Fennec has an unnecessary scar on her face.
Okay, but let's be honest. It could honestly be... Honestly, why I would think that they would not recast someone as Luke is probably because he's not really going to be in it.
No.
But then, why not? But why...
Then
but,
have one for the fans. Have Mark Hamill show up as himself for the fans.
That's what I'm thinking.
That is 100. I hate saying
it's
a one-off. So they're like, oh, let's get Luke. The fans will, like, the old school fans will love it. The new school fans will be like, oh, look, it's Luke.
Yeah, I think that's what this
okay,
is.
Okay, why they cut off
Hamill. They're not going to keep CGIing him for episodes and episodes. That's too expensive. That's too dumb. They would hire someone for it.
Yeah.
So I think that means that really we're not going to get that much of a Luke in this, which I don't think we are in general. I don't think Grogu's going to be hanging out at the Jedi summer camp for too long.
He's had a really tough
life. He clearly doesn't get killed by Kyle.
He's been through two mass murders.
Yeah, but no, I agree with what
Brett, these fucking Skywalkers keep trying to kill me.
I agree with what Brett is saying of that getting Mark Hamill back would be a fan thing, because if, even if it's only one episode, sure, get Sebastian Stan to be there for fucking one episode. Jodie Comer has three BAMFTAs and she was here to have four lines in Rise of Skywalker. Like, you could just ask any actor and they'll be like, I'm sure if they went to Sebastian Stan like, hey, you want to play like young Luke for like 5 seconds, he'd be like, fuck yes, I want to. But like, I feel like get Mark Hamill, that makes the fans more excited.
Well, so here's the thing also though, is I've had some people that have been like, I don't know how I felt about the CGI, but I'm glad they didn't do Sebastian Stan because all I can see is Bucky and I would have been taken out of it because of that.
Okay.
That's
so I've seen a lot
fair.
Of people.
Still, you mentioned Sebastian Stan and he still looks so familiar, so similar that I was just like,
maybe.
I was about to be like, wait, is that Sebastian Stan?
Well, when I was drunk the first time, I wasn't sure. I couldn't tell if it was CGI.
You see, I couldn't tell the first time, and then the other times I was just like, oh yeah, okay, I guess it's like a weird CGI because like parts of his face aren't moving. Like,
but when I was drunk, part of my brain wasn't moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then Grogu kind of he peeks around and he's like,
well, I think it's at first Din asks, are you a Jedi?
Okay, so I want to defend that line here because
I agree with it. I feel like Din wanted, because I've seen other people being like, you just saw him do all that shit. Din, like, of course he's a fucking Jedi, but I think Din wants verbal confirmation before he gives up Grogu to anyone.
Everyone was like, see, Din's such a himbo. He asked Luke Skywalker if he's a Jedi. Din is a himbo, but I don't think in this moment that's
no,
what he's doing.
He wants verbal confirmation on his own
because he waited till the last fucking minute to give him. Grogu's kind of sitting there just looking. He's like, he doesn't want to go. So no, he wants your permission.
Yeah, no, because Grogu appears around the chair. Yeah, and
he's like,
Din is waiting for
Dad, is this okay?
Din is waiting for the very, very last second. Yeah, he is, he's not letting the baby go until he knows for sure. I think he obviously knew that he was a Jedi or had some, he at least knew he had a laser sword.
Yeah, I feel like for his own confidence, he just needed verbal confirmation from the Jedi that he is a Jedi.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I think this is one of the very few instances where he's not just being himbo.
No, yeah. No. So,
and instead he's being Dad, which are his only two.
Yeah. So, Luke says that Grogu wants to go with him. He just needs Din's permission.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luke goes into like, I will give my life to protect the child. He will not be safe until he masters his abilities. Says some other stuff, but I feel like those are the lines that are the most important to Din. So he's like, okay. So he goes over and he picks up Grogu and like holds him and then is like the most important line he says to him, I feel like, is like, I'll see you again, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
And Grogu reaches up and touches the helmet and then Din just takes off the helmet. And I get that we're making like an intimate moment between Din and Grogu, but we get no reaction shots from anyone else and I kind of don't like it. And I feel like if this episode was longer, we would have.
Again, everything's in Din's perspective.
Yes, but we have a reaction shot from Kara later and now clearly Din is not looking at Kara while he's almost final Goku's being taken away.
Yes.
I feel like it almost like, because a little bit of everyone Finnick, I feel like would be
well,
a different.
Well, if it's what important to Din. I feel like the reason we get that Kara perspective is because
Kara's also sad about Goku.
That, but that's the thing, is she doesn't look sad. She looks kind of happy.
I feel like she
because she, I think because she recognizes
I,
or has some idea who.
Oh, I mean, yeah. That. Oh, I'll get into like what I think. But I don't know. I would, at least we would have gotten a shot from Kara of being like, holy fuck, dude, I've known you for like a year at this point. You've never taken your helmet off. So he takes his helmet off for Grogu and he has apparently shaved down his mustache since, I don't know, somewhere
really?
In the panic since the last week. I don't know.
Yeah, really depressing.
So yeah, Grogu reaches up and touches his face and then like closes his eyes and
that
episode
smiles.
Yeah.
See,
and
yeah, he lost, like, he took off his helmet. But, like, what is the armor gonna say? What, like, legit, what is the armor gonna say to him? Like, oh, you took off your helmet from somebody. And he could just be like, we follow the way of the Mandalore. I'm the Mandalore.
That is true. He is actually the Mandalorian.
Yeah, she can't
and
say
I feel like
shit.
The way Din is viewing this right now,
he doesn't give two shits.
He does
no,
not
but
care.
It's only to Grogu.
It is
I mean,
also
he then starts.
Which is his family.
Because he does have his back to everyone else. And when they cut, I don't know, they didn't actually do a shot of how Din would have put his helmet.
I know, and it's
down
on the ground.
And it's perfectly facing back at everyone else, which I do really like because it's like, no, no, no. The face is for the baby, the helmet is for the rest of you, which I like.
Oh, that is kind of a nice thought.
I didn't
kept
think of that.
What if he just drop it?
And it landed perfectly. There was no like, clonk!
Yes,
like,
I know. It has to be kind of
it's a best car helmet. Like, yeah. So they're just kind of staring at each other.
Yeah, well, I saw one thing about, like, it's kind of, if we're really going with this whole ideal that Din has kept his helmet on this entire time since he was a child, him touching his face was probably really overwhelming.
It probably was the most intimate touch Din has ever had.
But, well, it was probably
I don't
like
the word intimate.
Yes.
But I feel either. Like, yes, probably no one has touched his face. And
which is
he
why
he was saved from whatever his planet
someone
was
says is that,
by
like,
Death Watch.
He closes his eyes almost in, like, pain. Takes a moment and then opens up and then smiles because
okay.
He's like, it's a baby.
Sorry, not intimate.
I know.
Would you say he's overstimulated? offended by the touch of
that's
his face.
Even worse. But yes.
But suffering.
But yes.
But no, I get it. Of being,
he's having sensory overload.
Yes, sensory overload. That, that works.
Now I'm offended.
So
then he says, like, it's time to go, buddy.
He says, all right, pal, it's time to go. Don't be afraid.
Also, I don't know if you noticed, this is a very, very similar parallel to Anakin's mom.
Yep.
When Anakin's mom says goodbye to him, when he's where she's like, it's okay. You know, like, I don't remember exactly what she says, but she says something similar of like be brave, don't look back.
I was gonna say also,
he
like,
says, brave,
he needs to
back.
Be trained in the Force,
uh-huh.
and that is what Qui-Gon says to Anakin's mom.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yes. Yeah, what Luke says about, yeah, it's very on that theme.
Yeah, so Din sets Grogu down, and then he, like, stands there and puts his hands on the side of his boot and looks up at him, which is the same thing he did at the end of last season.
And he looks so much sadder!
He does.
Well, he was all happy at then because
yes.
he was just like, you're my dad, that lady with the weird helmet said that, and now he's just like, you're my dad, but
yeah.
I am the girl, we've decided this, okay. And, yeah, this is just Pedro crying through, like, the next part of
yes.
the scene, and then D2 comes around the corner, and Grogu turns CGI and walks up to him, and apparently they have like a little conversation through like beeps and boops, and I don't fucking like it. I don't like it. I don't like that it's here.
Do you just not like it because he's leaving?
It might be a little bit that I don't like because it's leaving, or it's a little bit of like I don't really care about Star Wars. I've seen them. I like them. They're fun, but I like this show much more than I've ever. Maybe it's because we've been doing this podcast, but and I always feel like yes, the robots are kind of fun, but they're always very cute and whimsical, and I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, this isn't a cute and whimsical moment. Like, that's not what this is.
Well, okay, well, I kind of think that I saw one thing. Well, first of all,
should we talk about the fan theory tied to this?
Well, some people think that
R2 was the one that saved Grogu from Anakin.
Or, because he was Anakin's droid, so he's been around. He probably saw, that's what people think, is he probably saw Grogu. With
okay. Wait, what? Oh.
Yeah.
The Temple on Coruscant?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's that old. He was with Anakin at that time.
Oh, because it would have been Anakin was at that time.
Yes.
Temple.
And
oh, okay.
R2-D2 was always fucking around doing his own nonsense.
Okay.
R2-D2 was always,
there's literally specials of just R2-D2 doing
yeah,
stuff.
R2-D2.
Oh, so it could be that Grogu and R2-D2 know each other.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes
that
me
possibly,
hate it a little bit less.
A lot of people said that maybe R2-D2, I don't think really, but maybe R2-D2 was the one that saved him.
Isn't it like Denver with the prequels where he has like all these weird powers he doesn't have in the original trilogy?
Who,
can, like,
R2-D2?
Yeah, he can like fly and shoot power, like
no.
shoot fire and stuff.
He could do that in the, it's just the books. I specifically remember him doing it in the old, like older stuff.
Who knows? But anyway, what I think it's more of just that Grogu is kind of like people I could talk to, you know. He's like, I love dad. People I could talk to.
Did you see the thing of, I think it was on Tumblr, it was a really dumb, like, Photoshop.
First day of preschool.
That they Photoshopped the top of R2-D2's head to be the shiny ball.
That's
why Grogu's
oh,
all
no.
excited.
I didn't. I thought you were talking about the one where it's R2-D2 talking to Grogu, and it's like, don't worry, we're just going to a summer camp, and you can send your dad letters, and he'll come and visit you and pick you up. And he's like talking, he's like, you can send your dad letters about all the cool things you do at summer camp.
Hey, don't worry, this idiot's nephew is not going to try to kill you in a couple of years.
Well, what about that? He could be like, dear dad, today we went space canoeing.
I couldn't help because the paddle was too big.
Yeah, exactly.
Dear dad, today we were on the tetherball court. I can't even reach the damn thing. Dear dad, today I had a panic attack because of all my trauma.
Yeah, but
the nurse
feel
says
like
you need to send me my medications.
I need more cookies. Ran out of cookies, please.
Please, all these notes will be just ran out of food. Send more.
I ate one of the other children and now I'm in trouble.
With like the camp stand at the bottom, having fun at camp.
Yeah, so while like R2-D2 and Grogu are talking, Luke does look over at Din and they both kind of nod at each other, like understandingly, which I guess I like more now if possibly Grogu does know R2-D2. And then he does little uppy upper arms to Luke and Luke picks him up, which.
That's the moment that broke me.
Okay, this is a point though. When later in the elevator, when he's like holding Grogu, like.
So Mark Hamill looks like a sim in this scene. I don't like it.
But anytime, if you haven't noticed that Din's holding Grogu, I mean, I know we've pointed out different things. If he's holding him in like his arms like that, where he's facing forward, Grogu always holds his thumb or his hand, or one of them holds each other's hands.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that to Luke. He keeps his hand on Luke's wrist. He doesn't go to Luke's hand.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And also, because this is very much that parallel of...
Yeah, when Luke
point,
picks him up and starts taking him away, he holds him so that he's looking
back,
back over his shoulder, which is always like he's being taken from one life into another, and now he's been taken out of his Mandalorian life and back into the Jedi.
Well, but in the last one, where in the last season where Din was taking him, his hand was on his shoulder, and he was like kind of like hugging Din. He's not doing that again. So it's like, yes, this is his mentor and his teacher, but this isn't his fucking dad.
I don't even know if in the Jedi, when Din was taking him away from Ahsoka, where Grogu's hand was. I bet it was probably on his shoulder.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Grogu was definitely like, not like, this is my new dad.
No.
He's like, this is this guy that's gonna tell me how to kill more stormtroopers.
That's just making me find more mud horns and steal more cookies, I guess.
Yes.
Okay, I guess this is making me feel better about this. So,
also, let's just say, Pedro Pascal in this full armor. I mean, with the helmet, it's so, like, badass and cool without it.
He looks like baby!
He has baby face!
And he's, like, crying, and I feel like, I like how they realistically do that. Like, his hair looks like he's been wearing a helmet for, like, 18 hours.
They always do. They never let his hair be good, which is amazing.
His
hair always looks messed up.
Can we also talk about, like, we have to mention, when Courtney and I were watching this, I ruined her, because I was just like, be naked! You know, when you take your pet's collar off, you're like, you're naked!
And also, he's like, at this point when they're walking down the hallway, he like keeps like gripping his hands. Like he like keeps moving like half.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to do with
them. Yes.
So then Luke and R2-D2 like get to the and Grogu get to the elevator. Yeah, Grogu turns around and he does like nod at him again. This is when they do cut to Kara, and I do like that they do this because she has a little bit of like she's slightly like sad that he's also leaving, but it's like also this is what Din wanted. It's like a conflicted like sad half
smirking.
I feel like a sad smirking. I don't want to like be. I don't want to like compliment fucking Gina Carano's acting, but like I do like it. Of it's kind of like a the kid's gone now, but this is like what's the best for him, and it's good at this point. And then the elevator doors close, and then we just cut to credits with no concept art.
We should have known. So I was like, where's the concept art? I want to see the concept
art. I just thought it was I just thought it would be like, oh, since we're the finale, there's not going to be any concept art. Do we want to talk about the after credits scene now?
We have to.
Let's just get out of the way now.
Let's say,
whole thing.
Yes.
Okay, so after... Yeah, which one I guess I realized the first time when I, like, you know, was fully coherent. I'm like, there were 7 minutes of credits? That seems too long.
Well, not me, because their credits are so long.
But usually there's all the concept art, but, like, there wasn't any concept art, so then we do... Then we cut, and there were two suns, so we're clearly on Tatooine. And then we
Jabba's
Palace. Yes, we pan over to Jabba's Palace, which I assumed that. I didn't, first know that. But, you said in The Marshal that the people who were fighting the WWE ring were the guards from Jabba's Palace, and then two of them walk by.
Gamorrean guards. I finally know the word. It's Gamorrean guards.
I was gonna say, I know how to spell it, but I'm
so I was like, oh, so this is definitely his Jabba's Palace.
And also, like, what happened to Bib Fortuna? He put on some pounds.
Yeah. He's trying to be Jabba.
Like, he's just trying to put on the pounds. He's like, I'm the new Jabba. I need to look the part.
Yeah, so he's sitting on the throne, and then someone starts coming down the stairs, and I don't know why it's when the shadow looks for a second. It looks like a little bit like it's Grogu's head. I don't know. Like, the way it looked like a Grogu ear, and I just spent it coming down the stairs with the shadow. It looked like a real long ear at some point. I don't know how. What was going on? So Finn comes down the stairs. She shoots basically everyone else. There's like a
slave.
Yeah, but
Twi'lek.
Who's chained like the same way Leia was. And then Finn like shoots the chain off and just kind of does like literally a very Din Astin, like, get the fuck out of here. And so she like runs off. And so Finn just stays with a gun on Bib Fortuna.
Mm-hmm.
And then Boba Fett comes down the stairs and he's like, oh, Boba, I thought you were dead. I'm so glad you're alive. I'm glad to see you. This is great.
It's so funny when people call Boba, because Boba's such like a cute name.
Yeah. So then he just shoots this dude in the neck, and then he dies.
As you should.
And then he kind of walks up onto the throne, and like the throne platform like pushes him off, and then goes and sits down. And fuck, I love Fennec in this, because she goes.
She looks badass. He looks badass in the fucking, like, throne with hoodies on the back.
Yeah, and he sits down, and then Boba gets a fucking bottle of Spotchka, and then the most, like, fucking bi woman sits back there and looks at him. And I literally saw a picture of this on Tumblr where that just said, like, this is bi culture. They're both so goddamn bi. She's got a giant gun, a whole bottle of Spotchka, she's just drinking out of it. It's just like, ugh.
And he's just straight posing.
Oh, God. Over the, he is on the throne.
I, like,
it.
He is posing it, and hey, Fennec's always like, okay, yeah, you're fucking posing, dude. This is cold, glug, glug, glug. I love it.
It just a whole, the whole exit scene, just the epitome of, like, badass not force.
Yes,
Yeah, and then it comes up with the Book of Boba Fett coming December 2021.
Which, do you want to talk about what Jon Favreau said in the...
Yes, this is what I didn't...
So, I don't know if people probably at this point may have seen some things.
Was this on the Good Morning America video?
Yes. Okay. So, he had, like, a 6-minute thing where he was talking about it. And basically, Book of Boba Fett is a totally separate entity, and...
Yes, which I know you and me were caught in that, like, oh god, what if season 3 is just Book of Boba Fett? And I was kind of almost like, might be fine, like, you put Finnick and Boba Fett and, like, Din Karen Greve pop in for, like, 1 or 2 episodes, I'd also be kind of fine with that.
No, I'm too H-word for Din.
She likes the story of Din.
I love Din too much.
Yeah, which, I mean, now probably that might still happen. It's just season 3 of Mandalorian, well, it's...
Yeah, so it's going to be the Book of Boba Fett in December
of 2021.
Yes, so in a year. And then after that comes out, then pretty much right after that is when season 3 is going to come out. So
okay.
The next thing we're going to see with any of these characters is going to be the book.
Okay, so but I guess if it's coming out in December, starting if that's either the start or the end, it'll probably be like February, March we're going to get season 3.
Yeah.
February, March of 2022. Hopefully
the
next couple of years won't last as long as 2022. So
last long, it lasted long, and also it's the quickest year of my life.
Yes, I it's also somehow March, but also March was 400 years ago. I don't know what happened.
I hope at least one episode we get done in the Book of Boba Fett.
It would make sense. He's like,
I feel like I see there's enough characters, and especially that they're on Tatooine. I'm like, okay, Cobb is here.
I want Cobb.
Pelly
so
is here. Like,
I want Cobb so bad. Give me more
also,
Cobb.
Also, whatever Ming-Na Wen is here. I really like Boba Fett. Like, so I'm just like,
I cannot believe.
Courtney hates the fact they made her like Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I literally, I'm not kidding. What, probably in my predictions episode, I was talking about how much I
you did.
Hated
I did listen
Boba
to
Fett.
It recently, and you're like, and you were like, I'm sorry, but I fucking hate Boba Fett. And I was like, no, I was just like, oh, I love Boba Fett.
I hated Boba Fett. I was like, I was literally being Bo in other Mandalorians. I was like, he's not a real Mandalorian. You know.
And then you got that code chain, and then you're like, okay. Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, no. And now I'm okay with it. And I literally, if somebody told me like 3 or 4 weeks ago, but if someone told me really before the tragedy that I was going to be excited that a Boba Fett show, that or that I wouldn't be mad that a Boba Fett show was coming out before season 3, I would have been like, you should cancel. That is not possible. Like, but honestly, I'm really, really excited for the Book of Boba Fett. And I really like Boba Fett now, and I hated him.
Yeah, I guess turning back to like the Mandalorian, I guess what was, I guess, reactions overall to this episode?
Okay, so I think, I mean, I have, obviously, like I said, I have some complaints. I think I would have really liked Din to have had a dad moment when they were handing him off, of been like, you know, even just be like, I don't know, something really dumb, like he'll try to eat any frogs he sees, you know what I mean, like just like some really dad, like sometimes he gets nightmares, or you know what I mean, like something like that.
Yeah,
like some kind of, I think, feel like that would have been nice. Or even like, will I be able to see him while he's training?
That would have been, I feel like he was too sad to say anything else other than like,
I think
I can see him, right?
Din was straight up frozen.
Yeah, I think he was too emotional to say anything like that, but I would have liked something like
but
that.
I also think that that fits with Din, because more and more as I've been thinking, I know I said this to you, I don't think Din was ever adopted into a clan.
He was not.
After, because he was...
He has no signet.
He had no signet.
Okay, so...
So none of the Mandalorians ever adopted him. And he said that he was brought into the fighting corps. So I think he was brought in to be trained as a fighter and as a bounty hunter right pretty much when he got taken.
Wait, when he was taken?
Yeah.
The, like, little tiny
eight-year-old? He would have been right around the age to start training.
Yeah, and he probably would have sworn the creed before he was 13.
Could that make his Mandalore title the Orphan?
It could.
Ooh.
The family. It would have been the family.
It would definitely be the family.
Oh, like
oh my.
Mandalore, the family.
Think about what you could do with that. Then it's all these new foundlings are going to aspire to be like Din Djarin, the foundling Mandalore.
First of all, Djarin is not a Mandalorian name.
Okay.
That DJ thing. Mm-hmm. Mandalorians love to put random letters together, but I've never seen a DJ together in a Mandalorian.
I mean, I guess, do you know, like, what was Din's original planet? Is that, like, would that be a name from that planet?
So some people have, oh, God. So some people, the big fanon is that it's Akventia.
Okay.
A-Q space V-E-T-I-N-A.
Okay.
I think.
Is that, like, canon attacked by Sis at some point?
No.
Oh, okay.
By, like, I don't know. This is just where some people have said that they think this planet is. Or what planet they think that Din was on that was attacked by the Separatist droids and all that shit.
Yeah.
But we don't know where his planet is. I mean, the Armorer said, has your signet been revealed? And then when he takes the baby, she says, you are a clan of two. Which means that before, he didn't have a clan. He was a clan of one.
Well, could he have been a clan of one because, like, his
no.
dad or brother died if he would have still
no.
been a clan? Okay.
No.
That would have still been your clan.
Okay.
Like, even though Paz is probably the only Vizsla alive, he would still introduce himself as...
Oh, he's part of, like, Clan Vizsla. So.
Yeah, he would
okay.
still say, I'm Paz of Clan Vizsla.
Okay.
Which
I guess also within the show, Bo would say, I'm Bo-Katan of Clan
Vizsla. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And even though she said, I'm the last of my line.
Yes.
Yes. So you're, which means that probably he
had no family.
Spent very little time to be adopted because he was already getting trained to do other shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably had this whole ideal of, oh, he's going to get trained.
My
That's
mother.
It.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He might just
in
die.
His mind, he was like, oh, well, children get trained and they get taken from their family and they do their thing.
Yeah.
So that may have been why he didn't ask, can
yeah.
I see him again or stuff.
Mm-hmm. But he did promise Google he would see him again.
Yes, he did promise that. But I mean, that may be why he didn't ask Luke, like, where can I find you? Can I have your number so I can text you every day?
Yeah. He didn't even ask what his name was.
Yes.
Sewn into the, like, the garb. Luke's going to have to get him some clothes, right? Luke has to get him some real clothes.
Luke's going to get
a potato sack.
Luke's going to get him some Chanel boots. Some magic
Chanel boots. Also, back with what Barb was saying, and we talked about it before, but the amusement park we both worked at. Do you remember the little child bands when they would, the parents would write their cell phone numbers on the bands that the kids would have? I'd be like, Din has that, whatever his, like, comm number is. And Goku's got, like, one of those, like, here, Peter. Like,
keeping the theme with Disney owning this, it would probably just be, like, one of the Disney attraction bands.
Yes, yeah. It's got
instead of, like, the Mickey Mouse head, it's a Grogu head.
It's got the account's cell phone number.
Also, say, Disney, if you hear this, I'm just saying, put his helmet on one of those. I'll buy it. I don't
I
even plan on
have,
coming.
I think they have.
Okay, good, because I know the hotel's coming out soon. It's projected to be $300 a night for a two-day, two-night stay.
Two-day, two-night role-play experience.
It's all role-play.
Where you get a character and you live in.
And then there's also shuttles to Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, Jesus Christ, if you guys weren't already married, that would have been
amazing. I know! It isn't done yet. It should be done by 2021. Well,
pandemic ruined our honeymoon anyway.
Huh. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, we never had to go.
We didn't even get that trial period. Everyone's like, oh, the first year of marriage is a trial. No.
It's a trial. Yeah, I'd like to redeem it.
Yeah, right?
I'd like to end my trial, please.
Do I get a prize for skipping it?
Oh, no. Oh, my God. You guys have gotten all the way to this point. Now you know the relationship.
Yeah, now we're married.
No, it was in your predictions episode.
Oh, that we're
was
married?
Really?
Because you guys kept saying it, and I listened to it the other day trying to get, like, what you had gotten right or wrong, and I know at one point I yell, you leave through your marriage out of it. Just talk about Star Wars. Because, like, Bryn does not want to critique your research paper. And it was like, yeah, it was fine. I think it was fine. And you literally, like, derailed yourself by talking about porgs. And I was just like, what, you actually talk about it?
Yeah, but,
yeah, we're married.
To be honest, this whole season, I think, was good.
Yes. A lot more action, a lot more stunts, a lot more cinematography. That's the word, cinematography.
Overall, in general, did you like the episode? Quark.
Yes, I liked it. The first time, I was kind of upset, but I wasn't mad. I mean, I was sad. I was very fucking sad.
The saddest, I feel like, I'd give him 21.
But I was surprisingly not as mad as I thought I would be. Like I said, with that one friend who was asking, like, thumbs up or thumbs down, I said, thumbs up, I think and he literally said, which is so funny, because this is literally the only time I've talked to this guy, is about the Mandalorian. He was literally leaving, he was like, oh, really? Because I know you said you really didn't have the Darksaber. And I was like, yeah, we were literally walking out, like, between each other to work, and I was like, yeah, no, I agree, but him getting it by accident is very in character, so
yeah.
I'm kind of for it. So, yeah, I think even the things I really didn't want to happen, the way that they made them happen, I was okay with. I like it. I feel like it made sense for the characters. I feel feel like everything that happened in this episode made sense for the characters. And I wasn't super pissed about Luke showing up, because I think it gave us a spot to go from. But yeah, I mean, maybe I would have liked other Jedis to have come, but I would also get why, like you said, Luke would be able to feel him more than anyone else.
Yes, Red, your opinions?
Oh, I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I liked it more than season one, but...
Well, this episode, we're talking about
this. Oh, this episode specifically? Love this episode. Like, but again, old school Star Wars fan, like,
yes.
Since I've been, since I was think three.
Yeah.
So this just ticked all the boxes for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it feels so blatant in that last fucking shot that literally Luke and R2-D2 are closing a fucking door. Oh, like they're in an elevator with Grogu and then it closes and it's literally like, no, the main canon, big canon Star Wars just came in and stole my favorite part of this minor Star Wars canon away and I don't like this. Like, this isn't what I want.
Yeah.
Overall, I feel like what I said earlier that I wish that we had split it so that we would have had more of these tiny character moments, which is what I want, which is, I know you were saying you didn't like it, but I even like that shot when we cut to fucking Kara of her looking like kind of happy that, you know, Din found a Jedi for Grogu, but is also sad that Grogu's leaving, because it's just like, no, they're just this little friend group and they're this little family who's just supposed to be back on Navarro with Grief, who's gonna be real mad if he didn't get to say goodbye. Like, and so it's the part of that I feel like it was the main Star Wars canon invaded this minor canon, and I like Star Wars, but I'm not a super big fan of it, and I feel like I'm a super big fan of The Mandalorian, possibly only because of the podcast, but so I was a little annoyed. Like, I'm fine. I kind of like what they have set up. I like the idea of him, yeah, being the accidental Mandalore. Like, that is kind of fun. Like, and if we still keep, you know, yeah, I feel like Boba Fett and Fennec could still come in because, you know, they're only on Tatooine. We're always on Tatooine. Like,
yeah.
And then, you know, I like the fact...
Pretty much we're setting up that Boba Fett controls Hutt space.
Yeah.
Which is...
Oh, all of Hutt space. There's a lot of the other room, right?
Yes.
Okay.
A huge part
Jabba,
of the galaxy.
Jabba was like the head of the Hutt.
So
Hutt.
If Ben was able to hold on to Hutt space during that time, Boba Fett's in control of all of Hutt space.
Yeah, and I guess I like the thing of like the like morally ambiguous, like Bo-Katan and her being like, oh, well, I guess I'll work with you, fucking cult boy that I hate. That because you're technically, you know, hold the throne that I want of her, of him being like a reluctant monarch, and her being like that, no, I'm your regent, I'm gonna be real aggressive and probably stage a coup at some point and
yeah.
Overthrow
is
you.
Is his first law gonna be only good dads?
The first law is Luke Skywalker gives me back my child.
Okay, so the time to sell. Oh, you might have sent me that one.
I think I did.
Really?
Yeah, I was like,
I
didn't see that.
It was like my first, it's like Din's
first order of Mandalore. Luke Skywalker needs to give me my fucking son back. But
no,
yes.
I was just kidding because Din gave away the baby. He was always ready to give baby away.
But was he ready, or did he only do it because it was what the fucking armor told him to do? Because when he tells Luke he doesn't want to go with you, he's not he thinks he's talking about Grogu, he's talking about himself, which is what Luke basically says, like, no, he just wants to.
But, here's the thing is why I think I like it even more, is that Din's love for Grogu is very, very unconditional.
Yeah.
Where he pretty much always knew that what he should do is if he can find some of Grogu's people, he should return Grogu to those people, regardless of how he feels.
Hmm.
Despite that, he realized he isn't the best for the job. He can't do it. He can't train him for the things he does. You know, he goes through all this fucking trouble, like in The Believer, he helms himself in front of people. He like faces all this crazy trauma. He does all this shit, kills people, all this crazy nuts stuff. And then really breaks his creed with everyone alive and other Mandalorians, plenty of fucking witnesses, to say goodbye to the child on the right term.
Yeah.
But he still gives him away because he believes, at least, I think Din believes that the best place for Grogu to be is with his people, with other Jedi who can train him the way that he can. But I think Din is also not going to be like, all right, I'm still part of this group, even though he didn't know it was a cult. But he's, I don't think he's like, I'm still a child of the Watch anymore. Like, I'm not that.
Yeah, he's definitely grown.
I think, but I don't think that it was because like he still wants to be with the child. I think it's because he still wants whatever is best for the child.
Yes.
And
yeah.
He still thinks that what is being with the Jedi is what's best for the child, even though if he was more selfish, he could have just said no.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be a good ending beat as well.
Season finale. Let's all cry.
See you, everybody.
Yeah, we will. We will be back next week with a speculation for season 2 episode.
Yes.
Or
you mean
three.
Season 3?
Yep, I meant for season 3. This is season 2. Yeah. Speculation for season 3 episode.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so
bye. 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 Bye.
If you would like to follow us on social media, we are BakarSickPod on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. If you would like to send us an email, we are BakarSickPodcast@gmail.com. Please like and subscribe on whatever podcasting app you prefer.
He did his waiting for the very, very last second, just as I have for the very last second for me to pee.
Jack Barrack.
Oh, that wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she is okay.
Sorry, we just took a shot of 100 proof bourbon.
It's 100 proof bourbon?
It's bourbon. You only get 100 proof.
I don't know bourbon well enough.
Probably could do better.